Veteran Gamers Podcast. Hello and welcome to show 49 of the Veteran Gamers Podcast. I'm the daddy. There you go. Got that out of the way. And with us, we also have Chini.
Yeah, what up? I don't know. I didn't have an intro already. So that was the best I could do on short notice.
That was good. I liked it.
Was it? All right, okay.
It's good. And we've
Was it a one star?
Just about. One and a half. Maybe. Okay. But then really it's out of 10 then, isn't it, if you had halves in. Anyway. Right. Yeah. And we've also got Duke.
Sam, you may have suffered from brain damage in the crash. This would explain your slight memory loss and logic impairment.
Moon!
I've not seen that yet. You know, I still have to see
it. Oh, you gotta see it, dude. It's magic.
Kevin Spacey.
Awesome. Yes, Kevin Spacey playing the very Hal-esque, what's his name in the movie? Gertie?
I'll do some research.
It's Gertie.
No, it's not.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it is. Because it sounds. I know. I was just
tell you to make fun of me. Oh wait, it's often a good idea to make fun of me.
Yeah, no, that's just a weird name, really.
Well, it's a great.
It stands
movie,
for so something. It stands out. For something.
It does, but I don't know what it is.
Anyway,
big. Yeah. All right, video games.
Yeah, I've got something video game related.
Good, because I like talking about
for a change, just for a change. Chini, have you been watching Misfits? Is what I wanted to ask.
No, I have not. Misfits is the program on Channel 4 or E4, am I right? And it's a lot of kids, teenagers, castaways that have superpowers.
Something like that. Yeah, they've all.
As far as I know about Misfits.
Yeah. Yeah, they're basically doing community service because they've committed crimes and stuff, so they're all a bit.
They done goofed and then they have to go to prison or whatever?
Not really prison. No, they all have orange jumpsuits and basically, you know, they've got to collect litter and stuff to do community service. Well, in the first series, there's a freak storm and it gives them all superpowers. So it's a bit like Heroes.
After that, consequences will never be the same.
Yeah. So. It's a bit like Heroes with Asbos. You've probably no idea what an Asbo is, have you, Duke?
Nope.
Yeah, it's like a behavior order. So if someone misbehaves, they're given what's known as an ASBO to make them behave better, hopefully. Anyway.
So it's like an electric shock?
Sort of. But they had in this series a gaming-related episode, which I've also talk about. Because what they've introduced in this series is other people with superpowers that they'd sort of come across or bump into now.
Hmm.
So it turns out other people got powers at the same time as them. Well, one of the guys featured in an episode with a superpower was a guy who really believed he was actually playing a Grand Theft Auto game in real life. In real life.
Nice.
Now, it could have been pretty cool.
But they go for the simplistic, let's make it look like this is a stupid game.
Yeah, unfortunately, right.
Did they backtrace it to the real actual game?
No, there was no actual reference to the actual game, but they did sort of, you know, like if someone was trying to make some CGI look like a game, but it didn't really look like a game.
Right.
And I was a bit like, oh, is that the best you could have done? I was expecting so much more because I really like the show and I like what it goes on about. And this guy basically,
they probably gave it to the CG department like a week beforehand. Like, here, make us a GTA game.
Yeah, and it looked like that, you know, but it had, the radar on, and he's obviously...
Was he shooting everyone and putting the Mac 10 in their mouths and making a brain slushy?
At the beginning of the episode, right, there's this new dude that gets introduced to them as a new person in their group, and his power is he can sort of teleport himself, right, which is pretty cool. But you just knew is it red shirts in Star Trek? If they have a red shirt on, they're not going to make it bad.
I'm afraid I don't watch Star Trek. I don't know.
Yeah, you could tell he was going to be a red shirt, you know. And, he, within sort of 10 minutes of the episode starting, he was the person who got it off the dude who thought he was in GTA.
Right.
And he thought he was like someone who double-crossed him in the game and just shot him in the head at point blank range. But obviously, when you saw it through his eyes, he was sort of playing the game, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then he thought all the characters were different characters in his game. It was just a bit weird, but I just thought I'd mention it because it was strange. Now, the other thing I wanted to just quickly mention as well is we've had a comedian in the UK live at the Apollo doing a bit of a sort of stand-up routine on video games, and it was
Dara O'Brien. He's very big on games. He talked about...
He absolutely actually loves games, and he was...
In fact, he was the one on Charlie Booker's Game Swap who talked about no other medium... stops you from reading the book or watching the...
He sort of used that in his... That was part of his routine, unfortunately. Yeah. Was
no,
it?
That's fine. That's the comedians reuse.
He talked about when you toggle crouch in a game and then don't know how to turn it off when you're not too sure about the controls. And he did this thing where he was sort of hobbling about the stage in a crouch, and then he was bumping into the scenery and then trying to jump it but couldn't quite make it over. And it was just so funny. So if you get a chance, I'll put a link up in the show notes, but give it a watch because it was very, very funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was quite impressed.
We should also say that Chinny and I are going to try to be good this week. We're going to take it easy, you know.
On the chat order.
We don't want people writing in and, you know.
No. We want to be good. We respect you, Stu. We're not going to do any type of weird stuff or anything.
Okay, that does make me worry.
We don't want people getting the cyber police on us and all that
stuff. Weird stuff. Although we have another email this week to sort of that effect.
We respect people. Although we're not going to just troll this podcast with, like, stupid memes and sayings and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm worried now. I think you are. Anyway.
I have no idea why.
I know, yeah. Why would I be worried?
Really? Yeah, really? Are you paranoid, man?
Yeah. Why would I be worried? I do have to get a couple of little announcements out of the way before we carry on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we did mention last week that Quanrine was going to be on this week live. That's terrible. Don't say things like
that. No, you're negatively setting it up. If you would say, stay tuned because Quanrine's coming.
Well, obviously he isn't here. He isn't here.
Oh, man.
And the reason he's not here is that
I made this cake for nothing.
I know, nothing. He was gonna, you know, we were gonna discuss the Winter Uprising, you know, and those games with that, but.
There hasn't been a Winter Uprising yet.
There has sort of, but only a few of them, so they're not all
more
out.
More of a cold breeze.
It has. It's been a bit disappointing, to be honest. I was expecting this rush of games, you know, all to come out, but a few have been delayed. Some haven't been approved yet, so they're not quite all there yet. So now, according to Quarian, it could be a few weeks before they're all out, so we might not hear from him. Yeah, he might not be on for a little bit because we want to make sure all considered the big hitters are out, and then at least we can discuss, you know, what the baby.
I want a comprehensive overview from that man.
Exactly. So he will be on, but only he says when they're all out.
So if you want to see Quanrian on the show, people, you got to send messages to the Winter Uprising folks and be like, get him out, let's go.
Yeah, there is that, the other thing I want to get out of the way. There's no Surface Lizard this week either.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. People are like turning off their iPods. I'm not trying to listen to these idiots.
Well, unfortunately, he has been away. So he has been away. So he hasn't had time to do one.
In under 70 feet of snow. You don't see me making excuses.
I know, you've turned up. But he will be back. He will be back next week.
Bloody hell, dude. Any top of fame, you'll take it, won't you?
I really will. I'll be like... I'm perfect.
Look at me. I dug my way through snow with my bare hands.
You don't need no makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Surely you wouldn't make anything of while that. And the other thing is we've got a poll up at the actual website. Poll at the website. For the game.
Yeah.
All that malarkey.
Not a literal poll. Not a lamp poll.
It's a pole dancing poll.
Yeah,
pole dancing poll. You should get up there and be like, check me out, I'm perfect.
That's the next Kinect game that will be at the Euro game.
Yeah. Well, there was a reason.
In with Saints Row 3.
Sorry, do you not remember, about a year ago, there was a game maker meant to be making a Wii pole dancing game.
Yep.
Yeah, I've never heard anything for a while, but there was meant to be one coming. But yes, anyway, get yourself over to veterangamers.co.uk and get your votes in. Get your votes in, and then we can talk about it on our year-end show, whenever that happens.
Awesome.
Yeah. So there you go. Right, games. Let's talk some games. So, what have you been up to this week?
Pretty much the same as you, Stuart.
Oh, yes, you have. I noticed that, yes.
Playing Epic Mickey?
No. I've been playing Lost Planet. I've been playing that, right, and that's a long game.
Yep.
Very long game. And there was one part where we thought it was finished.
Nope. You know, it's Japanese, come on.
What are the biggest bosses you could probably fight ever?
Bigger than Bayonetta?
Bigger than the solar system, no.
No.
But it's pretty big. Probably one of the biggest ones you could have on Earth or whatever planet it's on. And yeah, like it's good. It's just a little bit long-winded now, and the level that I'm on, I think I'm on the last level, because it's definitely the last episode. I checked the achievements, and it's just not that great. So it's just a case of too long.
Look, John Maui's going to be crying because he loved that game.
It's a good game. Like it is a really good game. It's a lot of fun co-op. I probably wouldn't get this far on my own, you know. But it's good. It's good. We've been playing the Doritos games, which we're going to talk about later, right?
We'll talk about those later, yeah.
Okie doke. And I've also been playing, well, last week we did talk about what I should play next. Remember, Duke?
Yeah, I wanted to have a word with you. I told you what game to play.
Obviously the next choice is Mass Effect 2 because it's, you know, brilliant. And
potential game of the year.
Number 3 is coming up and we just saw the trailer. We're going to talk about that in a bit. And it's been sitting here since January. But I helped my friend move house the other day. And as a kind of thank you, he says, here, lend Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. So I lent Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and played that. It's dead.
Can I ask you, have you got an aversion to Mass Effect 2? Is it like find an excuse not to play it?
No, it's just...
It just seems weird, though. It's just weird.
Because I've played Assassin's Creed because it's borrowed. It's not mine, so... I've always got Mass Effect 2. It's mine.
Well, it is, but it's always going to be yours until, like, maybe 2 years' time when you actually get around to playing it.
I know, but I've been playing Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, as you have, Stu.
I have, yes. I've got a few things to say about Assassin's
Creed. And we're about at the same point. We're pretty much at the same place.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. Are you on the side of a building?
Well, I wouldn't say literally the same place, but...
Are you sure you're at the same place?
We're at the same sequence. We're at the same kind of, level, let's say.
Yeah,
And it's not a bigger jump as Assassin's Creed 1 to 2 was, but if you loved Assassin's Creed 2, there is no reason that you won't love Brotherhood. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, so I do. I mean,
Ezio show up and he's like, I'm back, bitches, you can't stop me.
Do you know what's interesting for me? When I did the first Assassin's Tomb in this one, I thought it was even more like Tomb Raider, I've got to say. I was like, wow, this really is like, it feels like Tomb Raider.
Yeah,
does Ezio have big boobs now?
No, but there's
no. Is he all gritty in 21 now?
No.
I was going to say more like Prince of Persia, but I see like the argument, you know, like there are parts of it.
It was just the whole, like, it did a sweep from where you went in to where you had to get to. And even that feeling of working out the route and how to get there, you know, because the Assassin's Tombs in 2 weren't, I don't think, as complex as this. I found it quite complex and a bit puzzling, and I liked that. I was really impressed.
I didn't think that the tombs were any more difficult or less difficult. I thought they were about the same. But what I did think was different, the tombs themselves, they're a lot more scary than they were in the first one. Because it's this like cult of like people that have been brought up by like wolves and stuff.
Really?
It's odd. Like, and
really weird.
But it's cool, like, because the magnitude is quite atmospheric and scary and weird, and you see that like somebody running past, and you go ooh, and you expect someone. There was a moment where if something jumped out at me now, I would probably jump. You know.
Yeah.
And I've never got that from an Assassin's Creed, so I thought that was quite cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool monsters with Desmond, but then that whole Desmond thing. So I love playing as Desmond, and I love the parallel storylines that goes on. And
you liked him in 2 as well?
Yeah.
I just felt like it was weird when you were suddenly in the middle of Italy, and then all of a sudden you have to like backtrace to the present day or whatever it was. It just felt weird to me. I don't know. It felt disjointed in terms of the story.
No, I like them. I think they.
Right.
I think it maybe.
Wait, what do you say? Horses for courses.
Horses for courses. Yes.
Yeah. Horses for courses. Yeah.
In Brotherhood, though, they do other things to tell the story. Like like before yesterday, you know, you go into like, you know, the past and then you go into the present and it's very binary. But with this, you can, there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of nods to Inception in a way, because there's a thing called in the past called totems, right?
Wow.
But they're just items that you just sell them, so you don't do anything with them. But there's totems, and there's also this element of Desmond not accepting what's real and what's the past.
That's because
he's walking through like kind of scenarios that Ezio walked through, what happened when you finish playing as Ezio.
But he won't accept that it's a dream. He's going too deep.
Yeah, and obviously, like, Lucy's alluded to, like, hey, you know, trying to keep in reality, and all three of us know when that happens in a film or a game, that's going to come back. All right, it's just like, that's going to come back, and you know that's not
that's
just like
that makes me fine. I feel like we've been waiting for that. Like it seems like this is the logical conclusion of this constant moving between time periods. So it's good to hear. This isn't the final episode, is it?
Oh no,
no.
It's finally meshing up in some meaningful way, I guess.
It's really interesting that like Desmond, everybody now who's working with Desmond is feeling sorry for him. Right, yeah. I'm not going to spoil too much. I'm not spoiling too much. They're feeling kind of sorry for him. Like they don't like to put him through. You know, put him in the what's it called? The Animus.
The Animus.
And Animus. You know, like because it's, you know, you can read Stu. I know you haven't done this because you ain't achieving for doing this, but you can read emails. You see, as Desmond.
Mm. And you can come out of the world and go into the Animus, out of the Animus at any time you want.
Yeah, you can do that whenever you want. But you can read Desmond's emails. You can read other people's emails. I don't know how he knows their password, but he does. And like they mentioned, like Desmond screaming in the middle of the night, like in his sleep and stuff. And you know, it's obviously affecting Desmond outside of the Animus.
Well, there was a bit
other emails, like from like he's on like fan sites for like Blood on the Dance Floor. Like, yeah, this band is awesome.
See, here's us trying to have a serious conversation and look what happens.
Oh, sorry. I just thought it would be funny.
I think to a certain extent, it alluded to that quite a bit in Assassin's Creed 2 towards the end when you were in sort of the Desmond bits, when it was seeing overlays of the dream world in the real world and stuff like that. And I think it's building, and I like that. You know, it does feel it's building.
It's definitely amping up, and it's amazing what they've made in a year. Right?
Yeah,
and it is. I mean, even if they cut a lot of, because from what I've heard, they was meant to put Rome in Assassin's Creed 2 and they cut it out. But even so, right, I have no problem with them cutting out stuff because it doesn't fit or it's too long, right? Yeah. And everybody loved Assassin's Creed 2 who played it, I just think that like this is just such a good follow up to it. A year later, I'm so shocked at how great it is, how polished it is, how well thought out it is, how story is kind of progressing, it's going up, you know, they're changing a few things. It's, as I said, it's not a big step from like 1 to 2 was. It's definitely more of 2, but they've added things in there that kind of work better than some stuff that it did in 2, and they've taken some stuff away. You have to do Rome up now and you get more income and stuff. And I thought, like, Stu, this is, I know you're there now, but the whole kind of like the mercenaries and the thieves and kind of making factories for them and kind of doing missions for them, and those side missions actually progressed to them getting stronger. I thought, like, you know, all that was interesting, and then the training missions and the kind of like challenges, they're just kind of exercises that the Animus runs. They're not part of the story. And I just thought all that was just handled better. And it's just so much more.
I think one of the things I've really liked about it is the getting 100% synchronization by doing little side missions within each main quest as well. Which
that's right. So every time you start a mission, it'll say, do this mission. And then for 100% synchronization, don't do this. Don't swim.
One of the first ones when you take the first Borgia tower is you have to kill the captain by throwing him into some scaffolding.
That's right.
And it also is teaching you how, you know, some of the gameplay mechanics at the same time. And I really
that's like
that.
What achievements do, isn't it? Achievements kind of do the same thing, like teach you to do something that you wouldn't normally do. But yeah, I mean, you've got the achievement for doing a whole sequence 100% synchronized. I haven't done that, so I haven't really been paying attention.
I've done a few. I've done a few of them. I've only missed one. And what I'm also doing, what I'm finding is replaying the sequence just to get 100% on it. Yeah. So I've been doing that as well.
I haven't really been paying much attention to it, but like slowly, because there's so much going on, I slowly kind of started looking at it. And yeah, it's cool. It's interesting. I love... I was one of the rare ones that actually liked the first Assassin's Creed, but I love the direction they're going. I don't want a Desmond game, though. I don't want a game that's purely Desmond. I like what they do with parallel storylines and telling two stories at once. Kind of like how Lost used to do it, Stu.
Yeah.
You know, like both stories kind of used to run alongside each other in some way. And I love that, and I think they should keep that up. Doesn't matter where they go with it, like if they go to World War II or whatever. They should keep up the parallel story.
I do find myself feeling like, I mean, and I don't know obviously how much it'll come to play in this game, but I do feel like the Desmond story, at some point in maybe Assassin's Creed 3, is going to take more precedence, really, because I feel that's what it's alluding to, and that sort of backstory hook is what, you know, will eventually come to the front. Is what I think.
Yeah, I just don't want the whole game to be Desmond. You know,
I don't think it will, but maybe, I think that's
maybe at the moment, it's like 70-30, isn't it? It's 70 Ezio, 30 Desmond. But maybe in another game, it'll be 70-30 the other way. It'll be 70.
I think in the final one, we'll get a bit more of that for sure.
Yeah, there'll be more Desmond, but I'm still wanting to jump in the Animus and go to World War II or something, or go to
definitely, and I think that'll happen. But
yeah.
I feel like, you know, like in Portal, for instance, you know, the first two-thirds of the game were like training for the final part that you did. Yeah. I feel that's a little bit like Assassin's Creed. I feel like, you know, all the sort of assassin stuff is in training for when you're finally Desmond and you're like a fully trained assassin trying to escape in present day, you know what I mean? And I do feel we'll get that at some point, even, you know, not in the game in itself, but at the finale, you know, of the game. That's what I think we should get. And I like it. I like that. I think it's very cool.
Cool.
So what else have you been playing? Anything else?
Let me check. No. I'll finish Split Second, like the kind of season, the single player season stuff.
All right.
Yeah, that's got a weird ending. That's all I'll say.
So. Is that it?
No. It's just a very weird ending.
I don't know how you end the racing game, personally.
No, it has, I know.
You win the race. That's how.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
Yeah,
you win the race because it's a game show, right?
I keep forgetting that.
And it has a weird ending. So, if anybody's
you get any kind of fame at the end, like you have, like the person's like, "Hey, what's up? I'm back, bitches."
Yeah, not that kind of ending, but it definitely does have a weird ending. So, yeah. Right. It was good, though. I still love it. I think it's brilliant. Better than Blur. In your face, Blur.
Oh, snap. It's on.
Blur. So what about you, Duke? What have you been up to?
What haven't I been up to? That's
God.
The better question, man.
Really?
Jeez. We had the Black Ops play date, baby. Yeah. That was pretty fun. Yay. Big props to everyone who showed up for that. We'll be giving a full list later on, so stay tuned. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It started small, but then people just kept showing up, and then it was like the room was bursting at the seams. It was like, whoa, slow down, everybody. I got Rapstar.
Oh, yes, I know.
Last week, and then I was like, I had a chance to play it right after we finished the last show recording, and I finished playing it like an hour later.
No, come on, how good were you?
There's really, I mean, I don't know what I was expecting, but...
What do you mean? It's a rapping game. What did you expect?
It's a rapping game. It's karaoke with rap music. Yep. And like, you know, okay, so I started it up, and the first song that it wants you to sing is Today's a Good Day. I'm like, dude, not only do I know this song, I've covered this song. Give me a break, man. If anybody hasn't heard it, check out the archives. Duke's Good Day. It's on the website. It's pretty cool. Yeah, so, you know, I aced it. It's like 98%. I'm like, I know, I'm awesome. That's right. What do you mean 98? Why not 100%? What are you talking about?
Get out of here.
And then it's like, here's this, and you can sort of choose which track you're going to play from this list of like six. And I'm like, I don't know. What is, is this song is by this guy named like Jock or something. Like, it's like, it's going down. Meet me at the mall. It's going down. Meet me at my house.
Yeah, I like it.
I was like, and it was like, I didn't have to say the words. I don't know the words. It's going down. I'm just mumbling. And it's like 98%. You're awesome. And so then Public Enemy comes on. I'm like, yes.
I was going to say, did you not feel it scored very well then? Or wasn't very accurate then?
Well, Well, you know, computers don't have the ability to tell exactly which word. Oh,
SingStar, that thing punishes you if you don't.
Well, maybe SingStar does. But so for some reason, I don't think Def Jam really invested in that particular technology too much.
Right.
I can't imagine why. But anyway, so, you know, half the songs are things that I don't know, and maybe it's just because I'm old, but there's a lot of, you know, Lil Wayne and Soulja Boy and this and that. And you know, they have Wu-Tang. That was pretty exciting. And then Public Enemy comes on, and they got Pete Rock and CL Smooth, and when they reminisce over you, which is a great song. And yeah, there's some fun stuff, and Biz Markie. But, you know, there's nothing you can do in that game that you can't do just singing along to your iPod or whatever. So, really.
I mean, I'm guessing you can have two microphones you can play in co-op, can you, together?
I guess, but I only have the one microphone, and it didn't work with my headset mic, which is stupid.
Why would you want to sing it to your headset mic?
What difference does it make what you're singing into?
Well, that's terrible quality. It sounds awful. Surely.
Terrible quality. I'm concerned about the quality of my voice. Oh, man. If there's one person you want to hear rapping over Method Man and Red Man when they're doing the Rock Wilder, it's me, because I have a voice that's made for hip-hop. Hey, listen to this. Yo, bust it. I was gone too, but you wrong cellular phones. Yeah. Oh, I want to hear my...
You're goofed.
Yeah, exactly.
God, you make me cough now. Stop it.
Oh, dude, consequences are never going to be the same now. So anyway, it's I'm probably going to send it back. I haven't sent it back for some reason. I'm like, maybe I'll play it again, but I really don't think I will, because it's a good set list. I mean, they have some really good songs on there, but what's the game? It's just rapping along with it. And
unless it scores you accurate. I mean, I've got to say, when you do, because there are obviously rap songs on SingStar, and they do them in a different way, but if you're not bang on the beat, you just get awful, you know, and it's awful.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess, hard. I don't know, maybe I just have a natural, awesome rhythm. That's possible.
That's just you.
That's just me. I got perfect
rhythm. Yeah. Rapping.
Timing.
Style.
Timing. Timing. Anyway. Right. So anyway, I finished Bloodstone.
Oh.
007.
Yeah. Now you were raving about that last week.
I was raving about it last week.
Tom, assuming
it is it so bad that you got to send that cyber police around and take it away?
Yeah.
Dude, I think that Def Jam done goofed or something. But anyway, so Bloodstone, it was like, I was raving about it last week.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Apparently.
So have you got to make an apology to all those people?
I don't have to really apologize, but I think if I had played it for 10 more minutes before the show last week, I would have had a very different opinion. Because it becomes severely weak right after that. Like, the car chase at the beginning of the game is a lot of fun, and there's a few of them. You're on a boat chase, and you're in a car chase, and they're great. And then suddenly you're in this car chase on a frozen river, and a very small part of the river is frozen, and it keeps twisting and turning. So if you don't, you know, you're not going to know the route at the first take, so you suddenly go plunging into the river, and you're chasing a train. I don't understand what makes the guy think, oh, there's a train going that way. I'll just get on this frozen river, and hopefully I'll eventually catch the train.
It's James Bond.
He doesn't think
about his consequences. They'll just never be the same again. He just goes for it.
They're never
going to
be the same, man. Yeah. It's just weird. And then, you know, you end up with these stupid fight scenes where you're in, I wrote about on the site, you're in a little hover boat and you're shooting at this plane that's throwing rockets at you and all.
It's James Bond, man, against the odds.
I know. So I don't know. Whatever.
Is it the Die Another Day of James Bond games?
It's not that great. It's definitely, you know, Quantum of Solace, despite whatever you may think of it, it's pretty much consistent throughout the game. This one becomes really crappy halfway through, and, you know, approach with caution. How about that?
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have been raving last week. You should have given it.
I really shouldn't have been. I should have been like, hey, here's the way I feel about it so far, but I haven't finished it. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so we apologize to listeners who unfortunately.
Not apologizing, really.
I think you should.
Little Timmy, he bought it with the only pocket money he saved all year.
He's just jealous. I'm perfect.
He told me to buy it. He told me to buy it, and this is all the money I've got.
If one of these kids is buying a game based on my recommendation, I don't know what to say. I'm sorry.
Well, that's what they listen for. They want to know if stuff's good or not. And if you're telling me it's good, then they believe in you.
Anything else
you're
to say about it?
Screwed up, Duke.
Yeah, credibility is gone.
When we record, it's like 10:19 in the morning, and I just woke up at like midnight, so
you
whatever.
Done screwed up.
I done goofed, I guess you could say. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of games I haven't played much of, but I'm ready to give a review of.
Oh, God.
Transformers War for Cybertron.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's good. I'm having a good time with it. I'm constantly running out of ammo, which is not a surprise to anybody.
Yeah. What are you playing on, can I ask?
I'm playing on medium.
Yeah, the nice thing about that game, though, if you do find it, you can change difficulty.
You can, and it's not that it's really difficult right now, because like what'll happen is, okay, first of all, you're in a team of three people. You go through the Decepticon storyline, then you go through the Autobots, right?
Well, so you don't have to.
You played this, haven't you, Stu?
You can do them in any order.
You can do them in any order you want, but chapter one is the Decepticon chapter, and so I figure I'll do that.
Yeah.
So, but there's three of you, and you get to choose which one you're going to be, Megatron or... What is the other one? Brawl or something? And then
can't remember now. It's a while since I played it.
And I probably will play as Megatron eventually. But it's just weird because there's this enemy that you're fighting, or a group of enemies. And when I run out of ammo, for instance, the other two guys are still shooting at the dude, but they don't seem to be doing anything to it.
No, they don't.
Then I'm just looking around for ammo, and they're not. And so everyone thing just sort of stops.
You're pretty much a one-man army. It just tricks you into
really
thinking.
Are.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So it's kind of weird in that sense. And it's kind of hard to tell sometimes what needs doing. And the environments are all very samey because they're these huge mechanical worlds. But whatever. Having said all that, it's a fun game. And it's mostly just blast the hell out of the enemies, which is fun. And the controls are pretty good. So you change into the vehicle and you race along here, and then you jump up into a robot and you're leaping around and you feel like a badass because you're firing rockets out of your hands and stuff. So, yeah, you know, you just come on.
What I liked,
let me make a brain slushy. What?
Each character you played with had different weapons and special attacks and stuff, and I really liked all of that. I really liked it. You know, I thought it was a pretty interesting game, you know. But the Decepticon boss fight, I had no real issues with. But the other boss fight, oh my god, the Autobots one was. That was the only time I knocked it down to easy was doing the Autobots boss fight. I really, really struggled with that. But it's cool. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a cool little game.
I'm having fun with it so far. So hopefully, I won't come on next week and go, that game got really weak.
No, I played it for 10 more minutes.
Yeah, right. If only. If only.
That's right.
Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
Sure, blimey. Anyway, okay, well, we've done Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, so I don't need to talk about that, which is fine.
That's right.
Yeah, what I did want to talk about, though, is something that my daughter has been playing.
Uh-oh.
Get her on, then, Stu.
Yeah, I know, I should have done. Yeah. But yes, as I mentioned last week, I had got Epic Mickey. Epic Mickey.
Yeah.
Now,
finish it?
Well, I'm coming to that. So basically,
I've heard bad things about it.
I started playing it, okay, and it was sort of okay at the beginning, and I was impressed with the art style, and I like all the little old, you know, Disney cartoons being weaved into the game. You know, I thought that was all really cool.
Did you talk about this last week, Stu?
A little bit, but not so much. I hadn't really played it that much.
Did you like it last week?
I sort of did.
So you've done the same thing as Duke, sorry.
Yeah, but last week I didn't say it was great. I just said, you know. And interestingly,
you need to go to the tape.
Interestingly, I did sort of mention the worst aspect of this game last week. But
Harry, all up, just joking.
Oh, my God, right. No kidding, right. If my daughter, who doesn't really know anything about games, is going, why is the camera pointing that way? It was just... awful. There was a section in it.
Oh, right? Wait, you mean you were pointing the camera and she wanted
to
know why you were pointing?
But, well, if only I could point the camera in the game, would have been a start.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so she was critiquing it, saying the same thing you were thinking.
Yeah, she was saying what I was thinking, right? And she knows really very little about games.
Yeah, I would be that harsh, and she knows enough.
No, but she was saying, how can you jump on there when you can't see where you're jumping? I'm like, that's a good question.
Take that, Warren Spector.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, man, right. Honestly, this is no word of a lie, right? At the beginning of the game, it says you can use the C button? Yeah, the C button to center the camera in front of whichever way Mickey's pointing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't work. It doesn't seem to do it at all. You can run a bit and press C, and it still doesn't turn the camera around to wherever you're looking. So that doesn't help. And then also, you can supposedly use the D-pad on the Wii remote to turn the camera manually to where you want it to point. But that doesn't always work either. That doesn't seem to always work. It's just truly awful. And I got to the point, right, where I just had enough, really. And I was just like, you know, this game is badly broken. And I mean, I'm really saddened to say that, you know, but it was just so broken. It was almost unplayable in some sections just because, you know, you'd end up, right, you had to jump on the platform to the left and the camera would be pointing at the wall to the right. And you couldn't move it. You couldn't manually move it. And it just seemed to have a complete mind of its own. It would just, you'd be running in a certain direction, looking at whatever you were supposed to jump in, and the camera would just turn to the left for no reason. It was just ridiculous. And in a game where you've got, I mean, and Warren Spector came out, because a lot of people have criticised it for this very thing, and he's saying, but it's not really a platforming game. It's an action-adventure with RPG elements and some platforming. But I'm not being funny. The majority of stuff I did in that game was platforming.
Yeah.
You know, and
you weren't supposed to be doing that, though.
No, badly. Platforming badly. And I died. I mean, there was one section which wasn't really that difficult a section, and then I cannot for the life of me understand why he didn't just have a camera behind Mickey pretty much most of the time, you know, because, you know, whatever you tended to need to do was in front of you. So I've no idea why I didn't have a fixed camera behind him and maybe some freedom when you needed it in the more open areas, you know, whether he had a combination, but he just didn't. And it just felt really, just so imprecise, you know. And I think with a platforming game, precision is the key, really. Yeah. You know, it just didn't work. So
did you write a letter to the company?
I did feel like doing it. I did.
Millie didn't like this, and this is a letter from her father. Like, you forget, you people are messing up. You done goofed.
She wasn't impressed. So yeah, Millie never really played it because she just took a look at it and went, "I'm not playing that." Yeah,
smart girl. Too bad Dad didn't pick that up.
But we did play Ilo Milo together.
Ilo Milo. You said it right this week. Well done.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it by a 5-year-old or whatever it was. Anyway, yeah, we did play that together, and it was really good playing it. We enjoyed playing it together. It was good.
Yay!
So we did a lot of things. That was really cool. We played Decimation X3 as well, which we played together on the Indie Games. Yeah, you should check that out. Matthew Doucette, he's a really cool dude. So check his game out. It's good. And she really loved that. She really loved the Decimation X3. We bought that, and she was doing the score thing. You know, she was trying to better a score every time she played it. And I'm like, now you're gaming. Yeah, now you're gaming.
It has begun.
Gotcha. She definitely got the score attack going. And, you know, every time she was a little bit further up the leaderboard, she was like, I've made another place, you know. And she was, like, very addicted. So
That's what it's about.
Yep, so that was really cool. Mass Effect 2, I've finished. Yay.
Yay.
Yep. That time, God, you took so long.
Started in January or whatever.
Oh, bloody hell. Yeah,
finally Jeez. Finished it.
Kill me, it would take that long.
I'm quite sad, actually, that... No, seriously, I am saddened that I didn't play it all in one go.
See, I will when I play it.
Hey, you play it all in one go? Oh, you mean like you took big breaks in between?
Yeah.
I'm like one sitting. Like, I'm going to play this whole 50-hour game.
Not a whole city. But, you know, like, you know.
I will.
Yeah. I should have done. I should have done because I feel like I'd have got a lot more out of it. I did enjoy it. I really loved it. I guess I was a bit disappointed that we had the usual very staple boss fight at the end.
Well, yeah.
And it was very...
It went on for a little while, too. It wasn't nearly as bad as Dragon Age, but there were a lot of stages to it, at least.
There were, but it was a bit rudimentary as well. It was very formulaic in boss fight terms.
Sorry, I don't mind that.
It wasn't very creative, and I was a bit like, you know... And it was another one of those where...
I think your fighting is freaking huge, at least.
It is, but it was so... It wasn't difficult.
It wasn't that difficult.
And also, I just felt it was very... simple and a bit lazy, you know. There was nothing creative about how you finished it off, and you didn't even have to think about any of it. It's not like, oh, I need to...
I don't always want to think about it. There's plenty of stuff in that game to think about.
Oh, yeah.
I like thinking about the story, never mind about how you fight the last.
And I have to say, I did not get the achievement for keeping everybody alive. I was rubbish.
I don't think I did either.
I don't think hardly anyone. I'm assuming there's only one way of doing it.
So,
you know, but no, I didn't. I didn't.
I'll do it.
Yeah, you'll read a walkthrough.
I'm a real hero.
See.
I'm a renegade, bitch.
I think you got all sorts of comeback. I don't think
so. Yeah. Take that.
But I thought the actual final end was excellent, I have to say. I thought it was very cool.
How excellent was it?
On a rate of 1 to 10, probably a 9. It was very good.
Well, I need to ask you something after the show, after Chinny's gone.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, there's a moment that's really awesome.
You want to do it now, or do you want to...
No, that's fine.
No, we don't want to give him a spoiler.
We'll wait till you finally get around to playing it to do a spoiler. We'll do a spoiler show at some point on it.
I'll have to go back and play it again. I'll forget it.
Maybe I'll have to do that.
Jeez, you've made my life a living hell.
Well, the top I've finished it, yeah, like Mass Effect 3 will be out.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, the other game I've been playing a massive amount of this week, every sort of spare minute when I'm not on the console, is Infinity Blade on the iPhone.
Liar!
Why?
Sorry, I just wanted to call you a liar.
Okay. Infinity Blade, excellent. I can't sing the praises of that game enough.
Now, which one is this?
Infinity Blade. It's on the new Epic engine. It's by Chur, who did Shadow Complex.
Right.
And it is... They have truly achieved something on an iPhone, which is...
He definitely does look like an Xbox game, that's for sure.
Graphically, it looks awesome. And I've got to say, they've taken a really simple idea and made it totally addictive. You know, it's so addictive.
So what's the basic idea, then?
Okay, the basic idea...
talked about this for like 5 weeks!
I've already talked about it. Yeah, if you've not been listening.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes when you talk, I just sort of like tune it out a little.
Boss battle after boss.
Oh, right. No, stop. Basically... I remember. Stop. Yeah.
No, I'm still going to tell you about it, because I've been playing it.
Still going to do it, dude. Yeah,
so basically, it's a bit on rails. It's a bit on rails, and obviously you sort of make your way to the castle each time. And every time you sort of get killed at the end, which you're going to by the God King himself, because he's like level 50 and you're only level 5 or whatever. But basically, every time he kills you, your son, you then become your son, who's come 20 years later to try and take him on again.
Yeah.
And you keep all the attributes. Now, what it does really well is each item that you have has its own XP. So you have XP, but all the items you have XP as well.
I see.
So like your shield, your armor that you're wearing, the the sword that you've got, the helmet.
So what is it that you're fighting, Stu?
Well, they're all different things, like trolls vampires.
Like, it's the same thing. This person lived for a very long time.
No. The final boss, him, is always the same, but the one fight...
So what is he, just a normal dude?
No, he's like some weird god king person.
Does he age well?
Yeah, obviously he ages well.
Does he actually age?
No, he looks no different every time.
Stupid.
He's a god king. Gods don't age.
Oh, maybe he grows younger like Benson Button.
But the enemies fight getting to him are always slightly different in the different level characters. But some of them are truly huge, so you do feel quite tiny in scale compared to some of these massive things you're fighting.
I've never felt tiny.
But yeah, so all your stuff levels up. Now, when you've mastered something, obviously when you've filled up a meter on a helmet or whatever, it's quite interesting because when you then beat a boss and you obviously get your XP, it does like a bit like our buzzer on the show. It does a really nasty sort of noise when you try and level, obviously because it can't level up anymore. And that makes you go to the store because so you go to, and then you sort of think, well, I need a new helmet now. So then you go off to the store with whatever money you've collected in the game and buy a new helmet and start it all over again with that one. That's obviously a higher level helmet. And it's just really cool. And some of the weapons, the sort of the art style of it and some of the characters and the weapons and the armor, they're just really brilliantly drawn.
Is it, what I was going to ask you, is it good for like mobile gaming? Is it good as a pick up and play thing? Because that's
brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant for that. And I'm guessing that the strength of it is not only in the RPG elements, which I think are really well done, but the combat is just really cool and very clever. So the combat feels... Sorry?
Is it a lot of swiping?
A lot of swiping, but it also feels really intense and it's quite skilled as well. You've got to be quite... You know, when you start getting to the harder enemies, you've got to really think about your strategy and what you're doing, because you can obviously block by holding the shield in the middle. And then obviously, you know, if they sort of get rebounded, then you can get a few swipes in. But there's also a dodge mechanic either side, so you've got to determine which way they're going to...
Did you say there's also a dodgy mechanic either?
No, a dodge
mechanic. I thought there was a dodgy mechanic just looking at you.
No.
Looking at you so good, I wouldn't use that, mate. Carburetor's gone.
No? And each of the swords as well, some of them have special, like, electricity or fire or ice, or, you know, all the usual RPG stuff as well, so you get special stuff like that. You have magic, so you get magic rings that all have different spells.
Yeah,
and they can be a bit cumbersome and a bit frustrating in the middle of a battle, because you'll be in the middle of an intense battle, and the one I'm wearing at the moment gives me health back. which is obviously really useful when you're fighting against some really big dude. But you've got then to make like a rune symbol on the screen. When you press it, you've got to make like a rune symbol on the screen before it'll activate. And obviously, you've got to pick your timing when you're going to do it, when it's when the enemy's staggered or something like that, to obviously not get hit while you're doing it. So it's really cool. Very impressed. And £3.49 or $6, I think it is in America. I can't recommend it enough to get, you know, maybe 5 or 6 hours gameplay out of it. It's very, very cool. I really, really like it. It's worth every penny. And it also showcases how good a game really can look on a, on an iPhone. And it does look amazing because you
You're playing it on like iPod Touch, right?
I am.
Third generation? Or?
No, I've got a fourth generation with the Retina screen. So I've got I've got the latest one.
So you wouldn't know how it works on a...
It doesn't run on everything. Now, I have heard people, I think it's 3GS upwards, it'll run on a third generation iPod Touch. But some people are having issues from what I can gather on the lower end ones that haven't got the new chip in. I mean, it's run smooth on mine. I've had no issues. You know, it's got a fast frame rate. I've had no sort of slowdowns or frame rate issues or lag or anything like that. It's worked really, really well. So, but I have heard off a few people who are using a lower end iPod or an older iPhone that it doesn't work quite as well.
Yeah.
But it does look cool. It does look amazingly cool. And it does that thing as well where it does a cutscene. And then they sort of, the borders disappear from the top and bottom of the screen, you know, like the cinema borders.
Yeah.
And it's straight into the action, and it looks exactly the same. There's no sort of transition between what's gameplay and cutscene.
Cool.
It's very cool.
That many AAA games don't do?
Yeah, yeah. It's done some amazing things on a little
plot. Including Assassin's Creed. It almost does it.
Almost. So yeah, that's about it really for what we've been up to.
I haven't played one more game. I missed out.
Go for it.
I missed it because I'm playing it right now.
All right.
But I'm playing Bomberman Blast Fest, whatever. The new Bomberman game for the Xbox Live Arcade.
Ah, didn't know there was one.
There's a new one, and you can't really screw Bomberman up, to be honest, unless you make it 3D.
What about Attack Zero, whatever the hell it was?
Unless you make it 3D or realistic, Stu. There you go.
Yeah.
Which was Bomberman Zero. Because if you stick to the traditional Bomberman formula, it's, you know, it's pretty sound formula.
Yeah.
And, I'm playing it now, and there's a lot more costumes, a lot more levels, some cool bombs that they've introduced. One that's like a laser sight one. So if anybody walks into its path, it just explodes instead of waiting to be exploded. There's one that's on a like an RC car, like a Call of Duty Black Ops.
Cool.
And you could whatever direction you're facing, you plant the bomb and it'll just kind of fly in that direction, so you can send it over, which is cool. And yeah, just different environments and stuff, different costumes. There's like a chicken bomber man and a bomber man in a nurse's outfit or a Zorro outfit, all sorts of weird stuff. You can have 8 players, like the old Bomberman. So it's fine. It's a decent Bomberman game. If you haven't picked one up yet and you like Bomberman, then pick it up. But yeah, maybe if you've got the other one, probably not.
Yeah, not worth it.
A little bit the same. But it's still fun.
I was going to say, before we do have Kwame in and move on to the second part of the show, I did go to Blackpool at the weekend.
Sorry?
Blackpool.
No, I heard you. I'm just sorry.
Yeah, I know. Which is the Las Vegas of the North, as they call it in this country, for some reason better known to themselves. And we went in an arcade there because we were trying to kill some time. It was my daughter's birthday. We were taking her to the circus for her birthday. And
was she going
to
leave her there?
Yeah.
I'm on fire today.
I know.
Try the veal.
And we went in an arcade. And I was just looking around, you know, and it was really sad.
Arcades are pretty sad these days.
There was games in there that looked like they were from about 1996 or something like that. You know, like there was nothing that I would. The only new, what I would class as a new game that was in there, they had like a Guitar Hero game with two guitars attached to it.
Really?
Yeah. Right.
I've seen loads of those. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, huh.
I just don't talk about them on the podcast.
Yeah. I was just like, and it was £1 to go for one song. So you
paid that's the thing that depresses me the most. These games all cost $1 to play. I'm like, what is that?
Well, I said to Kay, have you seen this? Spent £1 ago. And there was some kid playing it, right? And I was thinking,
and Kay said, yeah, you have it at home. You play it
exactly right. So this kid was playing it, right? And they did quite well. But I was expecting if you got like, you know, you get to do another song or something, you know, if you were doing well. But no, it just a song, and that was it.
We want your money
for a song. And I was like, why would you pay a pound for a song?
For a song, you say?
Yeah.
Because you're excited to go out, you know, have it in the arcade and do it in a public place.
I guess,
I'm going to impress everybody. Look how awesome I am.
I guess the only time, right, that you would do that is if you were like one of these people who could do expert on whatever. And you're showing off to everybody else.
Or if you're in the pub and you've had a few and it's like, hey, watch me ace this song.
I guess so. So there was that. And then there was this Rambo game that just looked truly awful. It had like film footage from the Rambo films, and then like it was one of these.
Dude, that sounds awesome.
Really? Where's this arcade? I'll go over.
Big guns on the side. There was a Silent Hill game from God knows when, and then all the usual sort of Need for Speed and stuff like that. And there was nobody in the arcade. It was almost empty, and I was like, how weird is that?
Yeah. No, that's not a reflection on arcades. That's just a reflection on Blackpool.
Well, that is honestly, Blackpool was a dump. It's always a dump in the winter anyway.
Yeah, well, it's in the winter.
I know.
It's December, man. Well,
it's a dump anyway, to be honest.
It's a dump, but it's a little bit more packed in the summer, at least.
Where are we going for my birthday? Well,
no, we took it to the circus. Right, no, I do have to mention
there's a
circus.
Dumpy circus in a winter
city. I don't mention circus like because we went to the Tower Circus in Blackpool Tower. It's the Eiffel Tower of England. And we'd sort of got the tickets quite a while ago because it was Mookie and the Beanstalk, who's obviously the clown. That's cool, isn't it? Anyway. So,
well, obviously, everyone knows Mookie and the Beanstalk.
Mookie and the Beanstalk. And anyway, we went and they said, you know, you can go in the other attractions in the tower, and nothing was open apart from the circus. So I was like, whatever. Anyway, it was terrible. Anyway, moving on. No one wants to hear about my terrible birthday weekend for my daughter, bless her. Yeah, moving on.
From her father.
I know. Let's have Quamrian, and then we will come back and talk about what he's giving us this week.
Okay.
Indie game review.
This is Mike Quigley, also known as Quamrian on Xbox Live. This week, I'm actually going to be taking a little detour and looking at the Unlock Xbox Doritos competition that's been going on for quite some time. Some people might say about 2 years. And it got a bit delayed, and we got something from them about 2 years ago. Some might remember the interesting little dinosaur chasing a van game. Well, this year they've done it a little bit different, and we've got not just one, but two free games on the service. And what the deal is this year is we've gotten Harm's Way, which was put together by Bongfish, and we've got Crash Course, which was put together by Wanico Games, and both of these games are finalists. So the first game I'm going to be talking about is going to be Crash Course, and if anybody has ever seen Wipeout or the newer American Ninja on television, they've got a pretty good idea of how this game works. You run through a obstacle course with your avatar and basically just try to survive all the way to the end while competing against your friends in a sort of time trials type deal that is very much like Trials HD. And in that same way, you're going to see your friend in the background with their time and their pacing while you're going through the race. And you can even go online and race against them. And for all intents and purposes, it's a very fun, good way to use your avatar. And of course, it's free. And this is, of course, one of the games that has the potential to win the $50,000 grand prize by December 26th. And the other one is going to be Harm's Way by Bongfish. And this one is a little bit more interesting in the way that I've never actually seen this done before, conceptually or otherwise. And you've actually got two components to this game. Three, if you consider how the way the game is cooperative. One is you're driving the car and you're getting shot at by snipers. And the second is that you are a sniper shooting at the cars. And there's a lot of dynamics going on in this game. It's got a lot under the surface. And I absolutely applaud the developers for putting this together in such a way that you can actually go back through and figure out new stuff. You can shoot out the power-ups, where you can open up new paths for the drivers. And this game absolutely screams play online with me because it's got a very good co-op component, because you can have one person driving and one person on a sniper. And that lends itself very well to, you know, wanting to be played online. And it's just a very cool game. And again, it's free. And this is the other game that has a chance to win the $50,000 award. So I implore people to go check these games out. They are not quite as indie as the indie games, but they're definitely up there. These are very small developers making games from people that are absolutely pouring their hearts into these concepts to see them built and made into full games. So make sure you go down to www.unlockxbox.com, as all one word, and download them and put in your vote. Download them, try them, see what you think, and have fun. They've both got very good online components to them, which is a nice thing to see on a free game. And they're both quite fun and very well put together. And they cost you absolutely nothing. So have fun with them.
There you go. There you go. Can I just ask, had either of you played these before I sent you the email, or had you already picked them up, or...
Forgot that you told us to play them, but I'll play them anyway.
Interesting.
Oh, I knew about them and I played them, but not because of the show. I'll just play them because they're free. Yeah, I don't goofed.
So, yeah. What did you think then? What did you think?
Who are you talking to?
You seen as you made a funny noise there, I thought we'd go with you first.
Make a
funny noise.
Yeah, noise. Yeah,
I think when I heard free game, I went, "Oh, here we go! Let's download these car crashes. This is gonna be fun." And they're really good, both of them. Yeah. I think they're both great. I played Harm's Way first. That was the first one I played, and I kind of avoided what's the other one called? Crash Course.
Doritos Crash Course.
Because I saw my avatar on the kind of advertisement for it, and I was like, oh, forget that.
How'd they get my avatar?
Yeah, what's going on?
I gotta call the cyber police.
I saw like, you know, my avatar, and I just thought, oh crap, that's going to be awful. But so I played Arms Way, and I was impressed. But, you know, it looked nice, and it was a terror defense game and a racing game, you know, all in one. And I thought, oh, that's different, that's new. And it worked well, the driving felt fine, a little bit, you know.
You know what's weird? You know what I found weird about it was, you know, we got Toy Soldiers, which was trying to be that interactive tower defense game. But somehow, I think this works so much better than that.
Yeah.
You know, it sort of really does feel like you're part of it. You know, I really liked it.
Yeah. It is definitely that, you know, it does cross genres like Toy Soldiers. But it's just a cool mix and it works well. You know, the aesthetics work well. It's all kind of like Western type themed. As I said, like the driving, the cars are a little bit bouncy, like they'll bounce off environments and kind of get in awkward places sometimes. But it's still pretty fine. It's good. It's you know, you don't feel like you're fighting with the controls when you're driving. The sniping is great. A little bit menu heavy, I thought, like a little bit heavy on the menus. I didn't really know what was what until I played it a little bit. But I think it's really good. Kwame was saying, like, it screams out multiplayer. I don't know about that. It's still pretty fun single player, and I don't know how much I'll be playing multiplayer of this game, but it's a lot of fun. I think it's great. I think it's brilliant. Easy achievements as well for those people like them. Also, there's another game. The other game is Crash
Course. Doritos Crash Course. Come on,
Crash Course, and that's fun. I like it again. It's you know, the platforming, like you were talking about Epic Mickey, Stu.
Yeah.
The platforming kind of feels loose on that, on Epic Mickey, but it feels fine on Crash Course. Like, you know, you kind of know when you're on something and when you're not. Like, the running's fine. It's reactive enough. It's quick enough. It's very frustrating at times, but, like, that's the style of the game. That's the type of game you're getting into there. And I think it probably doesn't do a great job of balancing it out, like, the learning curve is all over the place, I think. The difficulty curve is all over the place. Sometimes you'll just get into, you'll get really stuck, and then the next couple of levels are really easy. But I still think it's a lot of fun, and I mean, it's a no-brainer to recommend them because they're free. But just giving it my opinion, I think they're both brilliant and new enough and different enough.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. So what did you think, Duke? Because obviously Chini liked them. I'm guessing. Well, what do you think?
Let me say, first of all, I feel a little weird talking about a game that was released for free as a way to promo a snack food, because as soon as I talk about it, even say the name of the company, I become part of a viral marketing campaign.
Oh, no.
Even though I don't really want to be. So, whatever. Having said that, no, you know, Crash Course is pretty fun. I played it for a few levels, and it's definitely got that Trials HD feel of one more level, one more. I'm going to see if I can do it a little faster. I'm going to do this next thing. And the programming is good, and it's a little tricky in spots, but it's not frustrating. And, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a well-done game. And the other one's good, too. I had fun playing them, so, yeah.
There you go.
I don't really have a whole lot to say about them. But, yeah.
Well, Crash Course.
Well worth the money, you know, they're, whatever.
They're well worth the freebies.
It's the price, is right.
No, you can pay. You
just, cheaper than FIFA.
You can pay the developers for these.
I sure can.
We do need to mention this.
But I won't.
Burrito's already paying, so forget it.
Let me finish. And the way you pay them is by clicking on the ad on the dashboard and vote for your favorite. That's how you pay them back for putting these games up there.
Because
it's not very clear that you actually need to vote on these games. Not that I saw, anyway, playing them.
Nope.
So you basically, if you go to your dashboard, and I'm assuming it's on the main part where there's an advert for it, click on the advert, and it will take you to a page where you can vote for which one you like the best.
I don't know which one I'd vote for.
I think I'd go for Crash Course, personally.
I
like Crash Course.
Voted for the other one because
I think the reason I like Crash Course better is because my daughter, again, Millie.
Here we go. She's
loved
from her father.
It. She loved it. She played it for ages. I set her going on it, and she absolutely loves Total Wipeout. It's one of her favorite shows, anyway. And she just spent ages playing it, and she just kept doing it again and again and again until she got through each level, and she was really persistent. And again, it's that leaderboard thing, you know, as you can see there's a leaderboard there and other people's times, and obviously she's like, I want to beat that time or beat someone else's time. So, yeah, very cool little game. But, yeah, I can't recommend them enough, and they're free, so what can you do? Can't complain because they're free. FIFA. Is it FIFA? No.
We'll play FIFA.
So, yeah, very good. Very good. There you go. How about that? Okay. I think we need to talk a little bit. Moving on. We need to talk a little bit about the Video Game Awards ceremony in America. Now, I'm not bothered. I'm not really bothered who won or lost. We don't want to talk about any of that.
No one cares about that. It's about the announcements and the trailers.
Yeah, we're not bothered about who won or lost.
Consequences will never be the same.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, did you see some of the nominees for Best PS3 Game?
I didn't, know. I didn't. I've not read anything on the nominees.
Best PS3 Game, Red Dead Redemption was in there.
Huh. Well, it is a PS3 game, sort of. Yeah. It doesn't have to be exclusive.
Yeah, look, there's obviously all the Xbox 360 ones and the Wii ones were.
Were they? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Wow.
They obviously didn't have enough.
It's like, well, we got Heavy Rain, we got God of War,
Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption was pretty good.
Was there some exclusive downloadable stuff or something? On the PS3. Not that I remember. No,
but they're still clutching at straws there, aren't they?
They had an exclusive cowboy hat.
There was an exclusive horse on the PS3 that you didn't spot, you Xbox fanboys. Consequences will never be the same now.
That's possibly true. Possibly true. But yeah, the three things. There's only three things I really want to talk about. As you go. And basically, the first thing I want to touch on is finally, God love us, after a long, 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 long time, we finally got an announcement on. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Wait.
Elder Scrolls 5. They are finally making it. Skyrim.
Skyrim! Oh, why aren't you just wetting your pants with excitement, Chinny?
Oh, arrows and stuff. Wow.
It sounds like some sort of sex act you perform while parachuting.
What?
What?
That's not exactly what I thought when I heard Skyrim.
Oh, but sorry, that's Skyrimming. Hey. Sorry, I got
okay,
it.
Okay, well, that's what you do. Anyway, next.
We've all been there, Stu.
Yeah, dude, consequences will never be.
So what did you think? What did you think? I mean, a tiny
I'm
little...
I'm very excited. It's not coming out for another 2 years or something, but, is it?
But, no, no, it's coming out next year. Next,
oh, well, end of next year. 11-11-11.
Is it 11-11-11, though?
Something like that.
Yeah.
No, it's like 11-11-11.
11-11-11,
yeah. 11-11-11.
That's ridiculous.
Which, interestingly, is Call of Duty Day as well.
Oh, snap.
Oh, dear. Oh, consequences will never be the same.
Which is interesting that they've earmarked it to come out. And there's another game coming out very close to that as well, so we'll talk a little bit about that. But yeah, they picked 11-11-11, and it's on a whole new internally built engine from
Bethesda. Well, of course it's going to be a new engine. They couldn't possibly aim for that other engine.
Look, nothing would have surprised me if they'd have carried on using the glitchy one they had before. Who knows?
Well, not to say this new one won't be glitchy too, but Bethesda might have done goofed by the time this one's released.
They might have ladders in this engine, you never know.
Maybe. I think what's interesting for me is that, you know, it sort of explains why it's taken so long to come, hasn't it? Because, obviously they've been building a new engine, new graphics, new physics, all of that sort of stuff.
They'll be working on this when Fallout 3 was still being in development, you know, because with a new engine, that's a lot of work and effort.
Yeah. So let's hope they fix all the glitchy stuff and that it doesn't glitch anymore and that it looks beautiful, which I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. But we don't know. We know it includes a dragon.
I can't. I'm looking forward to it because the class of this comes out, the class that can make a Fallout game in this engine. So
yeah, you don't care about the sword and sorcery stuff, do you?
No, it's just a bit like, blech. Maybe I'll give it a go. I don't know.
So there's that. Okay, that's one thing. Okay.
Who cares about that game?
Next one up. Uncharted.
Woo!
Now we knew this was coming in.
Coming what? 2012.
No, that one's, this one's 11-1-11.
January!
That was funny, actually. Some people thought it was January, but it obviously isn't. It's American, so it's 1st of November, this one.
Sadly.
11-1-11.
But, like, you got to work it out, though. That's about right, because if it did come out in January, it would be a little bit too short. And I want them to work on it as long as possible.
But, yeah, I've got to say, they released a trailer for this. Now, they have stated that the trailer is all in-engine stuff. There is no CGI or anything. It's totally, you know,
and
game's engine.
The very end of the trailer is, in fact, gameplay. That's gameplay stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Very end.
And it looks amazing, I've got to say.
It does
look awesome. And
amazing graphics.
I've got to say, what I did think, you know, when it
how
shows,
sweet you look.
How sweet you look. Do you know the end, the gameplay bit it showed at the end? I thought how smooth it looked, and the animations looked really cool.
I like how Kotaku had the announcement about it, and it said Drake's on a plane. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. Why is that funny? No. Sure.
Everybody get these drakes off this goddamn place.
It's freaking drakes. Motherfucking...
Are you serious?
I don't know. You people can't tell, man. You have such good deadpans. Why are you ruining my life?
Anyway. It was good. I liked it. I liked the look of it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think they could squeeze any more out of the PS3 after Uncharted 2. That's awesome. But it does look like they have. Looks like they've squeezed some more out of there. Old orange squeezer.
I did read on the old comments. Someone says, so one started in the ocean, two in the snow, three in the desert, four space? ?
I thought he was going to sing Blue Suede Shoes then for a second.
Yes, it's going to start on his blues.
One in the desert, two in the snow. Anyway, sorry about that. But yeah, it looked really cool. So
you're going to provide the music interlude this week.
I know. Excited for that. But the final thing that was shown, I'm probably the most excited.
I spaffed in my pants when I saw this, right? And I haven't even played the second game.
To mimic a comment on our forums, I did a bit of sex wee. It's fair to say.
For the word spaffed.
Yeah. When I saw this. And it is all CGI, so it's not obviously in-game footage or anything.
I know, but where is it, Stu?
I know. Well, we're talking. The game we're talking about is Mass Effect 3.
Yay!
And again, it's going to come out holiday 2011. So this is another one that's coming out next year.
Delayed.
Oh, I hope it doesn't. Anyway, anyway.
Delayed.
But the trailer is in London, and there's a sniper in the top of Big Ben. It was so cool.
Yeah, fortunately, V's going to come along and blow it up before the sniper has a chance to shoot anybody.
Now, what will happen is the students' protest that will go on in London will be able to
destroy
say
it.
Actually, that's what's going on outside. It's not a war. It's just a students' protest.
Yeah.
And they're just knocking down everything. So, I hope Shepard saves me. These students are crazy.
only Shepard can save the Earth, so it's going to be set on Earth. I love that. It looked
save
great.
Save me, Shepard.
Yeah, it did look. I know. I've got. It just looked awesome. It really
I remember
did.
Like how disappointed everybody was when Earth. You know, you couldn't go to Earth.
Yeah, well,
the first one. Well,
they were holding it back, man. They were waiting.
It's a good idea for.
No, you could go to the moon though. You went to the moon in the first.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
It's just a crappy mission, but you could see the Earth from the moon. You see the Earth from there.
Just as big as your thumb, man. Just as big as your thumb.
So can I ask, out of the three, which are you most excited for, then?
Well, it's difficult for me, because I've still got Mass Effect 2 to play, so... Uncharted 3.
Uncharted 3, Duke?
No, Elder Scrolls 5.
Yeah.
It's the highest number!
Yeah, and I'm sort of... Ooh, it was a close call, but I think I'm with you on Elder Scrolls, to be honest. Because I absolutely loved Oblivion. It's still one of my favorite all-time games.
And it's not that I think I loved Oblivion more than Uncharted 2 or Mass Effect 2, but it's just that I've been waiting more to hear this announcement. I took it as a given that Mass Effect 3 is coming out, and duh, Uncharted's going to do another one, obviously. I wasn't so sure that there was going to be an Elder Scrolls.
Can I just... Well, we're just talking about Mass Effect 3. There seems to be a lot of feigned surprise around all the forums.
I know,
and
yeah.
That it's coming out on the PS3 at the same time as the Xbox, and I'm like, why are you surprised?
No,
because like they're bringing Mass Effect 2 out in January. We've got a date for that, by the way, now for Mass Effect 2, and there's going to be a demo on the PS3 on the next week, between 22nd of December, for people to play.
Cool
for anyone. Yeah, so they're bringing out a demo for that, so that'll be cool, and it's coming out in January. I think it's the 21st of January or around that area. It's coming out. So we got a date for that, and I don't understand why people are surprised. Why are they surprised? Andy's coming to the PS3. Well, of course it is. You know, why wouldn't it be? So that's just weird.
EA like money, so...
Of course they do.
The first one, you know, they probably could... Sorry, the second one, they probably couldn't get on PS3 because it just wasn't ready. But they trust me, if they could get it any quicker, if they could have got that before Christmas on the PS3, they would have.
Yeah. Who knows?
So,
who knows?
Right,
I have got another little piece of news, which came out today. It came out today.
Right.
Yeah, Dead Rising 2 Case West dated.
Yes. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, 27th of December this is coming out.
I've seen some like gameplay footage of it and stuff, and it kind of just looks boring.
I don't know. I don't think it'd be cool. Good one, cool. I mean,
just the environments doesn't look. They don't look as interesting as, you know, like as a casino or a mall or like.
Well, this one. Did you know the story? You know what the story is for this?
They're in some kind of like factory or building. Looks boring as hell.
Yeah, they've got a. Basically, Frank West and Chuck Green have to infiltrate the Phenotrans facility. There you go.
Yeah, it just looks like a completely boring environment that I wouldn't want to spend time in.
No, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see what people think when they get it in. I know GH Rocker will definitely get it, so we can ask him what he thinks about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'll be loving a bit of that, loving it.
How long does K-Zero last? Like 3 hours, is it?
Yeah, about 3 hours, three and a half.
I might play that after Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, that's good. Well, what about Mass Effect 2?
That's like 30 hours, man.
Another thing I want to touch on. And I wonder if Duke will have a sound clip ready. I'm sure he won't. But basically, we've had the official trailer release for Journey. Yeah.
What sound effect were you expecting me to have ready?
I was expecting some sort of Journey song, like we usually used to have every time.
Oh, I remember when I did that. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. No, I didn't realize you were going to be talking about it.
Oh, fair enough.
Well, we're behaving today. Anyway.
I know, yeah. Do you know, weird.
What's up with that?
Well, we had a drum roll and the buzzer once when we was...
Well, anyway. We just report... Anyway. You're the host of the show, so we just want to respect
trying
you.
Trying to be, you know, chill.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we done goofed in the past and we just want to hone down on it.
Yeah.
It's just weird. I feel like something's going on.
That's not technically Journey, but...
It sounded like Journey.
It's the lead singer. You know?
Yeah, we'll take that. We'll take that.
If you told me that was Journey, I'd believe
you.
But yeah, there is a new trailer out, and I've got to say, it makes me even more intrigued about this game than I did originally. And what do you think, Chitty? I guess you can't really wait for this because, you know, you love Flower and all that stuff.
At least Journey seems like more of a game than Flower was, like, instead of just some pretentious claptrap bollocks.
I think there'll be plenty of that in it, to be honest.
But like, what winds me up is like you getting excited and jizzing over this trailer.
Yeah,
and it's just this like dude walking around in the desert.
Yeah,
which is,
that's cool. That
which I realise is
contemplative. That's the
that's the same trailer as Uncharted 3.
Yeah,
but
contemplative.
It's just,
like
it's just all like desert, and it's just like what's this about, Tommy?
Well. You're on a journey.
In the desert,
yeah, to the top of a mountain. That's where you've got to get to the top of the big mountain.
Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Well do you want to be something interesting?
That game studio.
Apparently, you know, the developer of this, they were doing some playtesting, you know, for the co-op.
Yeah, because basically, they got bored.
No, gamers. Guess what the gamers did? Because gamers do what gamers do, don't they? So what do you think?
Where the guns at?
No.
Where the guns?
No. Do you know what they were doing?
Right, oh, they were drawing dicks on the sand.
No, I think if that had been possible, that's definitely what they would have been doing. But no, they weren't drawing dicks. What they were doing, basically, if they found a hole in the scenery, they were pushing the other player into the hole and then walking on them and stuff. How can we break the game?
I've just suddenly become more interested in this game.
So and apparently the developers were really disappointed that people were doing that stuff because obviously they think it's all deep and sort of
screw it. No, that's exactly what playtesting is for, right? If they think they're all deep and being all pretentious, enjoy that, but like not most people won't do that, so they'll just trap people in holes or draw penises in the sand.
That's what people will be doing. But I'm guessing
what I'll be doing when I get bored of all this pretentious crap.
I don't know why he was surprised, though, because that's like, you know, that's a typical gamer.
Have you ever played a game?
I know. It saddens me, because I'll play it properly. I won't do that. But interesting, I did hear a story.
I so appreciate the art style of it, yes.
What I want to know is this, though, right? Because apparently, while you're playing the game, you can obviously bump into a random player, you know, a random player in the game. Now, you might walk with them for ages or whatever, and you can sing, apparently. You can do some weird stuff and make your character. You can't speak to them, they can't hear you.
I might really enjoy this game, but it's already winding me up.
I know. But you can sing to them with some weird button presses, presumably, or whatever. Anyway, so you can do this weird stuff. But what I wanted to know is, right, say you meet up with a player, but you never get to know what the PSN tag is or anything like that. You can't talk to them. But then if you stop playing the game, you would never meet that person again, which I think is a bit weird. You know, it's not like you can hook up again the following day to finish off, can you? Because you don't know who they are.
You just move and go, like, you know, like.
I like the idea of it, but I don't know. I'm liking the look of it, but I just think it's going to be a really interesting and weird game. I think it's going to be weird for definite.
Oh yeah, it'll be weird.
Yeah. I do want to move on. This is a bit of a low blow, I have to say. A low blow. But a thief in America, broke into a hospital cancer unit for children and stole all the video games consoles.
Ridiculous.
Yep. And, you know, and obviously we had this story the other week about the PlayStation 3 thieves who punched women in the face, you know, so we had that as well. But basically he stole everything that they had and... Yeah, left them with nothing, bless them. You know, just before Christmas. Fancy doing that. But, you know, never want to miss out on a bit of publicity. You know, EA has contacted the medical centre and will be replacing the consoles and supplying all new games from EA. So there you go. Now, every opportunity to, you know, make sure we get a nice bit of marketing in there. Look at us, we're so really kind.
I mean, I don't want to be cynical.
Corporate social responsibility, eh?
Yeah. And basically, this is what they had to say. EA said, this story really struck us at EA. We can't believe someone would do this right before Christmas and victimize kids recovering from cancer, no less. We've made contact with the hospital, and EA is going to step up to replace the Carolina's Medical Center's consoles before Christmas and hook them up with all new games as well. Hopefully this will brighten up the kids' holidays and they'll play lots of Dead Space and really enjoy it.
Dead Space.
It doesn't really say that. I just made it
up.
Thanks for bringing this story to the attention of the industry. Those six-year-olds will love blowing their heads off necromorphs. There you go.
You never know. If they're old enough, they can.
And then they had another update. The Halo Waypoint team at Microsoft also dropped us a line to let us know that they will also have a care package on the way. So there you go. So everyone's getting
care
in on the old
see, Troy Hawk could be still an opportunity there.
So are they going to send them blankets and stuff? I don't know.
They should drop it from a helicopter.
Like that. They should. A la Call of Duty. That would be great big crate just appears in the ground to the hospital.
Be a bit of fun day, won't it?
Crush any of the kids.
And then everyone will be shooting each other to get to it first. There you go. So I thought I'd just mention that. Yeah, and he thoroughly deserves to be caught and punished, is what I say.
Is he not caught yet, then?
I don't think so. They're on the lookout for him, though. But he gave a nice smile to the CCTV camera, so I'm sure they should get him all right. So they get him all right. Yeah, we have got a bit of a topic, but before we get to that, there is one thing I would just like to mention. Monty Python appoints the Ministry of Silly Games.
Well, I don't know what this is, so let me know what
this
is.
Games based on all their classic bits.
Yeah.
Which they've done before, but they haven't had the technology to do it right, and I think this is really going to nail it.
An upcoming Facebook game that sees players partaking in the world's most ridiculous games within a Monty Python-themed virtual world.
Cool. They got, like, a mini-game for Mr. Creosote. How are you today, sir?
Yeah, you have to feed him till he bursts.
Better?
It's going to be great.
I'm glad you tuned in today, people.
I just hope.
Are you doing the Inception music?
I just hope there's going to be some, like, killer rabbit action. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Behind the rabbit.
Hand grenades.
Well, there is my favorite character from all Monty Python ever, the dude with the polystyrene nose. My guest today is Mr. Raymond Luxury Yacht. That's not my name. I'm sorry. Mr. Raymond Luxury Yacht. No. It's spelled Raymond Luxury Edge, but it's pronounced Throat Wobbler Mangrove.
Yeah. Oh, God. I love Monty Python. Anyway, it's better when it comes off them, to be fair.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
No, I enjoy it when some American tries to do it.
Yeah, that is quite. But you're laughing at him rather than with him, though. That's
true. This is true.
That's true.
Shit, you better not laugh at me.
Well, you're a funny guy.
Hey, you're a funny guy. You'll go far in this business. Cutthroat business, and you got the neck for it.
I don't like it when you make references to things that I don't know what they're referenced to.
I have no idea. I'm just making this up.
Yeah, we're just making it up.
Yeah, you're goofed.
You're going to be here all week. Here we go.
All right.
What I wanted to move on. Topic. I like topic.
Right. Let's backtrace back to the real original topic.
Yeah, topic.
Topic.
EA has apparently said, Frank.
Here are some new games, hospital. Yeah, that's what
Frank,
they said.
Yeah, apart from that. And Bobby Kotick is really a nice guy. Frank. Oh, no, it's Activision, isn't it? Huh.
You done goofed.
Jeez.
We don't like him either, anyway. Frank Gibu, who is EA Games president, has said the future of games industry will probably come as a disappointment to everyone waiting on bated breath for Mirror's Edge 2 or anything of that nature, because it's all going to be multiplayer or cooperative. So there's not going to be any more single-player games. Forget it. They're just not going to happen anymore. Not happening.
Ain't happening.
That model is finished, apparently.
It's done.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. That's
over.
It. That's it. No more single player games. There you go. So what do you think? No more single player games?
I don't know. I'm skeptical.
No, I think multiplayer is where the game, why people keep a game, and they've obviously like looked at ways to incorporate multiplayer into single player games. But to say that there's no such thing as single player games anymore, or like to say that they won't be, is a bit.
And I've never been one for in just analyzing the way that most people play or looking at surveys of players. I can only speak for myself. But as for myself, there's something to be said for just playing the game by myself without having other people around and having to depend on other people. Sometimes it's just nice to know that it's just me and the game. Like there's this intimacy between me and what the developers have attempted to do. And I can't see that dynamic fading.
You see, I mean, I'm being a little bit cynical here, but...
Really?
Yeah, but we know how sort of keen EA are on the online pass and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And
maybe they just want it to be.
Yeah, it does make me sort of wonder whether
say it enough, people just think it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, if we take this year, for instance, and I know, there are games where they have started to incorporate a multiplayer aspect to it. You know, an Assassin's Creed Brotherhood is an example of that. You know, but that you still primarily, as far as I'm concerned, buying that game for the single player. You're not buying Assassin's Creed Brotherhood because you want to play multiplayer on it, are you? Who would do that?
And I think that that's because we are interested in that particular game and other games like it for the story. And I don't see how you tell a good story if there's constantly other people coming and going or you're dependent on other folks. Right. Even for co-op, when you're playing co-op, it's very hard to keep track of a story because there's other things going on. Some people are racing ahead. It just changes the whole dynamic of the storytelling thing when it's not just one person and playing the game.
I mean, there is that aspect to it, but I don't know. I just feel like, making a statement. I mean, when you think how many great games we've played this year that are sort of single-player experiences, such as Red Dead Redemption, and Alan Wake, and, none of those games. I mean, Alan Wake didn't have a multiplayer at all,
Yeah.
Red Dead Redemption, Dragon Age Origins from last year, Fallout New Vegas.
Red Dead Redemption.
Now, see, Fallout New Vegas... Fallout New Vegas, I think, could be an exception because I think there is a possibility of turning the Fallout wasteland into a WoW type of place where the interactions of the people is the story rather than them having a scripted thing that comes around. You are just one person trying to make it in the wasteland and there's a lot of raiders to fight and there's still death claws everywhere. You know what I mean? There's like areas to explore, but in the same way that WoW just sort of gives you a world and is like, here's this place for you to explore and to live in. I could see Fallout doing that type of thing, but then I don't know how that would work with VATS and other stuff. So
it was being made, wasn't it? From what I remember.
Yeah. I think they're still working on it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people.
There's a Fallout MMO being made.
Yeah, I'm sure there are people who would like to do that for various things. I mean, I could see a Dragon Age type of thing with that happening. But here's what I was going to say is that I think there are some games where the story isn't really important. And, Operation Blacklight or whatever it was called? That was, I think, a good example of how we could take the first-person shooter, the online. Now, I haven't even touched this campaign on Black Ops yet, and I've already prestiged once. So I think that I could see that happening with the online shooters, them just getting rid of the single player or making it a separate game or, devoting a different kind of attention to developing a first-person shooter single player experience. But then the Call of Duty thing just becomes something that's smaller and cheaper that, is updated a little more, regularly, but isn't a whole new game you have to buy every year. I don't know if that would be beneficial to EA because then people might not make as much profit. But if you take something like FIFA, I could totally see them getting rid of the single player part of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real point to it, is there? And to a certain extent, how much is this being driven by, the likes of Call of Duty games and the likes of Battlefield were obviously they're seeing this huge uptake in multiplayer and also how much money they make every time they release a map pack or some DLC that goes with the game, and That's how they're looking at it. It's almost how much profit can they squeeze out of one IP, isn't it?
They know that multiplayer games make people keep them. You know, like people keep games because of multiplayer. They don't keep single player games unless they're really good. But talking about multiplayer games, I think the way like Need for Speed Hot Pursuit is doing it, like where it tracks what your friends have been doing, like what races they're doing, and you know, like Trials HD, it tells you what your friends have been up to. So you're kind of playing at different times, you know. It's like offline co-op that we talked about before.
I mean, Blur, as much as you like Split Second, it incorporated a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, it does. It does.
You know, like challenges and stuff like
that. I think there's more to be done in that area. And they're doing it really well in racing games, and I think Need for Speed, from what I've heard, Hot Pursuit does it.
Well, I think Hot Pursuit has a special sort of cornering on that market, because they've got, you know, you're sort of playing as the cyber police, so you want to compare yourself to other people.
Yeah, and also, like, there's Pac-Man Championship Edition, what everybody's raving on about, which I think is just average. But it's doing what Geometry Wars Evolved did, you know, just bringing people back because of their friends and what their friends are up to. And, you know, I think there's still more to do in that area, and I wish that was explored more in, like, first-person shooters or... I mean, Mirror's Edge did it a little bit, but I think they could do that a little bit more in some direction. I wish they did anyway.
I mean, the one game I want to touch on that's obviously coming out next year, which obviously is looking at this sort of thing already, is obviously Bring, which we did play at Eurogamer and really loved it.
Yeah, you know, we did.
And this has no real... It has single-player type storylines, but it's all done in multiplayer now.
It was weird to see a cutscene for a multiplayer session.
And I think this is sort of maybe where we'll get an idea of maybe what he is talking about. But it's sort of taking multiplayer and incorporating it into a story, which I think is a really interesting way of doing things. And it's going to be published by Bethesda, by the way. I was looking whether to see if it was being published by EA, because I couldn't remember who was publishing it.
Bethesda.
But it's Bethesda. But, you know, I mean, I personally don't think single-player games are dead by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I think that many great ones this year. We've got, you know, obviously we've mentioned Mass Effect 3 coming next year. We've had Mass Effect 2 this year, which was just
exactly
awesome.
Look how excited people get for Uncharted and Mass Effect. And, Uncharted's got, like, a multiplayer, but how many people are bothered about playing that? People want to see what Nathan Drake's up to.
Yeah,
you know?
We've got The Last Guardian obviously coming next year as well at some point.
And that's developers like Rockstar, do you think they love, like, telling their stories and they love creating these worlds?
L.A. Noir, that's not going to have a multiplayer as far as I'm aware.
Like, Red Dead Redemption and GTA are very decent multiplayers, but I think what what Rockstar love is telling a fantastic story in a game medium. So it's not going away. Don't worry.
No, I don't think it is. I mean, I think this is a load of hot air, really, just to just to try and sort of let people know that the sort of multiplayer is buy our games, get your online passes. We're going to squeeze you for every penny we can get off you. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about it.
There's a lot of money in multiplayer games. I won't deny that. And people, I mean, I'm one of them. I get rid of I rent a lot of games because when I'm done with them, I'm done with them. I mean, it's true what they're saying, but they're not going to go anywhere. Like, they're not going to disappear. It's just the way the market is.
No, I absolutely agree.
It's a shame that, like, a game like Mirror's Edge won't come out because of it. Because Mirror's Edge was pretty good, and I would love to see what they did with the sequel, with some improvements on it. But, you know,
it was never going to happen, though, because it just didn't sell enough copies. And
has it been officially cancelled, though?
Not that I'm aware of, but...
Never say never.
Never say never.
Because I heard, like, a small team was working on it. That's the last I heard of Mirror's Edge, a small team was working on it.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, I'm guessing at some point we may see it, but they're not going to put resources into it, because especially if they don't think they can make any money once it's been released, because obviously the whole thing with EA and Activision, as we know, these, you know, the bigger developers and publishers, is to get stuff out and then squeeze you for everything else afterwards, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know that, and I'm guessing at some point we are going to start getting those Burr Bones games off them. You know, EA are going to give us a Burr platform and then try and charge you for everything else after that. And I'm sure that'll come at some point. You know, especially with like your FIFAs and your Call of Duties and your Battlefields, because that's where they're going to look at, isn't it?
FIFA.
COD.
FIFA.
COD.
Yeah, COD. COD.
COD Blops.
Yeah, Blops. Sort of thing. Anyway, I do think that's coming up.
And how many times, I mean, how often do we talk about multiplayer games on this show?
Well, Duke does all the time.
Yeah, I know, but like we have, spoiler warnings and all this, and you hear it on all podcasts, like spoiler warnings and detailed talks about how single player games are. Not many multiplayer games, really. I think the discussions and what people enjoy playing that are really into games and are single player games, and multiplayer is just kind of like the big ones get the more attention, you know what I mean? Like the blobs and stuff. So,
yeah.
Screw you. Screw you.
Now, talking of multiplayer games, that would be a nice segue there. Like that, didn't
I? I saw what you did.
I did see what I did. 1UP did an article on the future of Call of Duty. So they were sort of took a look at what's going to happen with the franchise. So I thought it'd be quite interesting to have a little look at this, what they're saying, you know?
New kill streaks. Have a remote control boat next time.
Okay. So the first thing they looked at was Infinity Ward, Modern Warfare 3. Now,
Infinity Ward.
What's actually left of Infinity Ward? Who knows? Yes. As far as I know, Activision have put some internal guys into there now, haven't they, to take over?
Oh yeah, I mean, Modern Warfare 3 will still come out. So
yeah, well, I think they were already in pre-production. They already started making stuff, haven't they? When everything went down.
And also, like, people think, oh, just because those guys have gone, like, it's not going to be any good anymore, but. You know what? There's a lot of talented people out there, and Activision are a very good, expensive, big company, and they can afford to buy talent. So don't worry about Modern Warfare 3.
Well, let's just have a quick talk about this. Now, it's interesting what this person's put. So they asked 1UP's resident Modern Warfare superfan called Tina Sanchez for her thoughts on what she'd want to see, and she this was the first thing she said. At least for me, the most important part of Modern Warfare 3 will be the storyline. Really? Is it really bothered about?
Really?
And they buy
storyline?
That? Really? Really?
That's why it sold Tina 5 million. Sanchez? Yeah. Really?
Storyline?
Storyline?
I don't think
so. Everybody wants to know what happened to Soap. Really? Come on.
So Modern Warfare 2 abruptly ended with Soap and Captain Price taking off in a helicopter. Ooh, spoiler. To an unknown location. In other words, I was cheated out of a proper ending. It's probably because I couldn't think of one. I don't want the same shit happening in the next game, or I will be wronged again, and COD games will forever resemble the end of Rocky and Bullwinkle's episodes. What happens to Soap? Does he survive? I'm sure he'll recover from his wounds, right? Well, we don't know. Tune in next time for your next $60 installment of Call of Duty. There you go. There you go. So, I don't know. I mean, is anyone really... People who buy COD games aren't bothered about a story, are they? Come on, let's be honest here. Who cares?
Well, Surface Lizard was a little worried about the story. And
well, he didn't like the story. I don't think he was bothered about it. He didn't like
it. Well, he sounded like he was bothered about it. He spent 10 minutes talking about it.
Ranting, I think, is a better way.
Yes, ranting.
I mean, you've obviously, you've just said yourself you've not even played Black Ops story. So
I don't give two figs about the story of COD games. I wasn't even
Oh, my God. Single player's got to go because of you, Duke, because of you.
Fine, I won't worry about it.
Hey, did Murphy write this article? Because a bit further down it says, oh, and the Prestige Edition was a little lackluster in hindsight. Night vision goggles? Really?
Really?
I felt cheated out of my own EMP. Make this happen.
Yes.
So there you go. Can you imagine that?
And you fell for that? Really?
Can you imagine that? You know, you get your own EMP and you'd get all the electric to go off in your neighborhood.
Yeah,
that'd be funny. Awesome. Okay, Treyarch, Black Ops 2. Black Ops 2. Okay. Yeah. So, secret missions, Cold War era, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Black Ops 2 will take place in the 70s, is what they're hoping for. Yeah, I don't know. And possibly South America and Africa. Yeah. Anyone care? Bothered?
No. I mean, I haven't played Blops, so I don't know if I care yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked Modern Warfare 1, Call of Duty 4. I liked the story in that.
but I think they went overboard with Modern Warfare 2. And I haven't played Blobs, so I don't know about that story.
And the other thing they won from it is in the multiplayer, other crazy alternate modes like zombies and wager match. You know, and
of course, because where else can they go? You know.
Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do with the next one, to be honest.
What, Blobs?
Yeah. I don't know, with any of them, with Call of Duty 2. I think
what they're gonna do with any of these.
I keep thinking every year it'll get to a point where people will go, do you know what? It's just the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. No, that'll happen, but not for a while. And also they won't stop making them until they stop.
Well, as long as people are buying 11 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Guitar Hero are still coming, and they're not selling it well anymore, right? Oh. So when Call of Duty games are just about not selling anymore, that's when they'll change the model.
Yeah.
But in the meanwhile, we're stuck with it.
And then the new one, in obviously in the mixing, it's a bit of an unknown quantity, is Sledgehammer, isn't it? The studio,
Sledgehammer,
acquired. And obviously the speculation here is COD in space.
No, I think probably more likely like an online model with them or something. You know, like an MMO or like a, I don't know, some kind of Facebook game or something.
I don't know. I mean, they're saying that, you know, it's going to be an innovative take that will further broaden the audience for Call of Duty.
Facebook.
So it could be Facebook, but I mean, why? Why would you? You wouldn't get a big developer to just do a Facebook game, would you?
No, well, they formed this developer, so no one said they're big, Stu, you know?
You know, obviously with Halo gone now, or sort of gone, I guess there's going to still be Halo games, but
Halo games, mate.
But we don't know who's making them, you know?
Yeah, we do. It's the Microsoft studio that they've formed.
Oh, have they formed one to do it, have they? No.
They made the Halo Waypoint Gateway, and they're Frank O'Connor, who used to work for Bungie, works for them now.
Yeah.
And it's like an internal studio at Microsoft.
So we're going to get tons more. But would you want COD in space? Do you want that?
So I don't think they'll do that. I think that's just like people shooting fish in a barrel.
Well, it
I
is.
I think like they'll do something else with it, like some online model or arcade version of it or something weird with it.
I mean, you're our resident, you know, super fan of COD games, as we know. So what's your take on it? What would you like to see it do differently or better next time around? What do you want? What's the future for you?
Meh.
Is that it?
Care? Meh. I mean, I
of course you
I
care, or else you wouldn't keep buying the games, would you?
Black Ops. I just did it because of the peer pressure, and like, I don't know. I'd like to see it. I don't know. Here's the thing. Okay, I'll never get to the highest prestige. It took me 2 years to get to the COD 4 10th prestige. And the only way you can do it is if you take 2 years or if you do nothing else. Like, you don't have a job, you don't have a life. And that seems silly to me. If they're going to put it out every year, then it should be something you can conquer in a reasonable period of time. But
no,
then again,
you just got to quit your job, loser.
All right.
And then, you know, when they bring out new maps, you've got to buy them too, obviously, to help you get there. That's what you.
Yeah, I know. And that's the other. I'm definitely. I say this now. Who knows? But I'm definitely not planning to buy any map.
Careful.
Yeah, whatever.
I probably will not be. I don't want to say definitely not. Yeah. I don't have any intention of buying
that. But in some ways, that's part of it, isn't it? Because you know they put in these ridiculous prestige levels, right?
Yeah.
When
right.
the new map packs hit, you're still going to be playing it, so you're going to buy them, aren't you? Because you're still playing the game.
I might, I don't know.
Don't get on your high horse, Stu, just because you haven't played them.
I don't want to play them, you know, I don't care.
I like them, I just haven't got to it yet, that's all. So, yeah.
Have you actually got it? Have you got it?
No, I haven't bought it yet, no. But I haven't bought it because if I play that, then, I don't know, I want to play all my other games. I've got no need to play
that
now. It'll still be there when I, you know, if
I mean, that's the thing is that I think of it as something that's like easy to pop in, play for a little while. If I don't want to think, you know, I mean, okay, let's not be confused here. It's not as though Transformers War for Cybertron is some perplexing narrative that I'm going to get confounded by.
That is considered the prequel to Journey. Did you know that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So. But, you know, still, it is following a story in some limited way, and it's learning where to go, and it's something nice and familiar about going to a game where you know the maps, you know where you're going, you know what to look for, and there's not a lot of thinking involved. I think that's one of the reasons why it's really popular.
Yeah, definitely.
It's casual. It's not casual in the traditional sense, but it's something that's in some ways, you know, comforting in some weird way, I guess.
Yeah, comforting. Is that in like a game addict's type of way? Is it?
Exactly. The way heroin's comforting. It calls to you. Yeah. Hey, come on. Just one fix, you know?
You joked, Duke, but you know what? Like, that's not far off. It's like, it's addictive, isn't it? It's just...
That is definitely... I mean, when we were
talking about heroin or Call of Duty?
We were talking a bit about...
Oh, yeah, I'd Call of Duty, yeah.
We were talking about... Panorama last week in Game Addiction and Game Addicts and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you definitely can get addicted to that. I mean, I've seen people putting hours and hours and hours of stupidness into
I can confidently say I'm addicted to games. Yeah, but not to a degree where I, like, stop eating or whatever. But,
yeah, I mean, we're functioning addicts, I think. We know how to manage it, and we've found ways to carve out little parts of our life, and we know when it gets to be too bad, and you know, like I recognize that it can put me in a bad mood if I have like 3 really crap rounds in a row on COD. I'll be like, "Damn it, I can't do anything right." Rah! And then I realize, wait a minute, this is stupid. I'm getting mad about a game, like you were saying with your little nephew Jimmy. What's he, 7? That's kind of how I am sometimes.
I mean, it was just unfortunate that the program wasn't very balanced.
We're all guilty of spending too much time on a Sunday playing like whatever. You know, we're all guilty of that. But
yeah, I got my grades in today. I'm not too guilty.
Like Duke says, like, you know, we have lives as well. We're okay. Yeah.
Can I just ask as well? What do you think of the announcement of a sequel to Prototype? Prototype 2. What do you mean? Yeah.
I never played the first one. I wasn't really bothered by it. What I heard was it's like if Infamous weren't so cool.
Yeah.
And I heard that the story was dumb and the game mechanic was kind of weak, so I'm like, okay. Now, okay, hey, what? Assassin's Creed was kind of lackluster, and then the
a lot of people, people didn't like that. And Uncharted, the first one, it was a good game. It wasn't game of the year material though, you know. And then Uncharted 2 came out. Whopping. I don't know if that's.
Now, here's the thing. Yeah, if you're gonna do that, I think you need to be able to say, and I think they did this probably with Two Worlds. Here's what was wrong with the first one. Here's how we're gonna improve things greatly for the second one, so that consequences.
Well, it's worth a second. Yeah, consequences never be the same, but it's worth a second chance to you. You gotta admit, like, hey, Two Worlds 2. Come on.
Oh yeah, that's next year as well. Got another great game. I've forgotten about. Yeah.
If I would have told when Two Worlds 1 came out, if I would have told you the sequel's going to be awesome, you would have laughed in my face.
No, because I actually was one of the few people who sort of enjoyed the first one.
Well, if I would have said to someone who had some common sense, right, they would have laughed in my face.
You know, I can't help it. It was all right in my eyes. I quite liked it. Just out of interest, actually, I've just seen some news. Infinity Blade. Fastest grossing app ever. Fastest grossing app. It made $1.64 million in 5 days on sale on the App Store.
Damn.
And they reckon that that's only based on the number on Game Room, the version of Xbox Live Arcade. And they said the actual number might be even a lot higher than that. That is
expect
a lot
to see
money.
A lot more games looking like that.
Yeah, because if that shows you, you know, if they've put a bit of money into it and that's what they get as a result, then, we're going to get to see a lot more games.
Yeah, but that's okay because that's like the first one that looks really good, but then when we get like 20 games that look really good.
No, we've had Rage as well, so we've had two in the last couple of months. We had Rage HD and this, which both look excellent and both play really well.
How well did Rage sell?
I have no idea, but again, I really enjoyed that as well. That was really, I reckon that probably sold. It wouldn't have grossed as many, but you know, I reckon it probably sold a lot because it was a lot cheaper. It was only just over a quid.
I reckon it sold 4.
I think it did probably better than that. I think it probably did better than that. But that was a very cheap game, so I'm liking that. It's good. Keep them coming. That's what I say. I don't mind paying for stuff when it's that good. Okay, I think we do need to take a break. And then when we come back, we have got emails. We've got quite a few of those for this week to read out. Some iTunes reviews and other stuff.
Can I just say, you know, on this, what do you call it? What's that? I keep forgetting the name. Crash Course. Thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How far down is the water?
Yeah.
That's a long drop for your avatar to fall.
There's the one I don't like is when it hits it towards the screen and it like smashes your screen.
Yeah, I know. It's just
I feel sorry for my avatar. I'll tell you, got well beaten up. But anyway, music this week. Yeah, we have got music because Surface Lizard, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, isn't here. So he isn't here, but he will be back next week.
Yeah. But Surface Lizard, you done goofed.
But, and I can't even remember why I picked this. But because it was near Christmas, and, you know, we all like choirs, don't we? Choirs. Came across, and I remembered this from a while ago, and I thought, oh, do you know, we should play that on the show. And basically, it's the Gifford's Children's Choir singing Still Alive from Portal.
Nice.
So, choir version of Still Alive. So there you go.
This is a triumph.
So does it make you feel fuzzy inside that at Christmas, eh?
You know what it makes me think about? The choir teacher goes, okay, people, we're going to start working on a new song today. it's sung by a robot to the woman that killed her and the cake that she didn't get after she burned the robot. How is the robot singing to the woman that killed her if she's dead?
Because
she's still alive.
I'm scared!
But you know what? Have you actually seen the YouTube video that goes with it?
I have once upon a time.
It's awesome because they've got the girl who does the solo bit has an electronic dress on with a screen on the front,
and it
sort of lights up and everything. They've got portal holds and everything on the stage. I think that's wonderful. Awesome.
I also wonder how many parents knew what the hell was going on.
I don't know, but
they're just looking at each other like this. Choir teacher, man, she done goofed.
Yeah, I don't know what the parents have to say about that performance. Like, what's wrong with Silent Night?
Even though you killed me and threw me into a fire, what?
What the hell's wrong with Silent Night these days?
But you've got to say, that teacher...
You backtrace the source of this song.
Has to be a gamer, doesn't he?
Sure, obviously somebody involved in this is a heavy game.
You know,
maybe they were like, okay, kids, we're going to play the game first, and then we can sing it for your parents.
Yeah, oh, I love it. I love it, though. It made me feel all fuzzy.
It is great. There's no doubt about it. There's also a cool Japanese language version of it.
Oh, we love all that stuff. Yep. So there you go. I thought that was a hard rap, seeing as we're coming up to Christmas, and we like choirs. Yes. Obviously, it's a
We're coming up to Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, obviously.
Oh, crap.
Obviously.
Oh, I've gotten this out. It'll be Christmas.
I forgot that.
Crap.
Have you not done your shopping, Jim?
Yeah. I haven't, actually.
Oh, you done goofed.
I have.
You're rubbish. Okay.
Emails.
Right, do you want to do the first one, Chinny? Because you like reading out emails.
I like reading out emails. Yeah. Which one is it? Which one's the first one?
No, we've got a few. I'm just trying to look.
Yeah, I know. I don't know which
just
one.
Just pick one.
Yeah, we had a weird one, actually. I'll read a little weird one we had. A weird one. Off some dude called...
Is it from Little Weird?
No, we had one off a guy called Scott Allen. This is nothing. This is actually, it's to us, but it's not like a show thing, right? This is what he said anyway.
Hey, sign up now for amazing savings on stocks and penis.
Listen.
I'm not finished yet.
Hi. I think one of your members was in my TS3, and I kicked them because their name was Veteran Gamers. I didn't realize there was a group called Veteran Gamers. Is this one of you? Sorry for that. I get people doing things like that once in a while, so we don't mess around with it. Do you know who this might have been that came to our TS3?
What the hell?
Apologies.
There's a TS3!
Alan, Blood Knot, or Blood Plot, or something. Anyway, so I sent him back. What the hell's a TS3? I'm not sure what that is. Let me know and I'll ask around, right? Well, apparently it's called TeamSpeak 3 and it's a program used for game comms. So there you go. So it turns out he's a PC gamer. So I sort of said, well, not being funny and all, but we do console games, so I'd be very surprised.
We do real games.
Yeah, yeah.
It might have been somebody who's part of the forum or something, but I doubt it.
We have got a couple of PC gamers, but I doubt it.
But there's also other websites that are like veteran gamers.
Well, this one he's from is www.veterans-gaming.com.
All right, don't advertise
them.
That's not
us. No.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I went to look at his...
veterangamers.co.uk. You should go there.
Yeah, he's very clanny, though, when I went to have a look. He's very old clan-based and what have you. So. But anyway, someone was messing around. So if anyone knows who that is, let us know, because it was interesting. Anyway.
You got the cyber police on your ass.
Yeah, really.
Cyber police on your ass. All right, Ginny.
Tails and stuff.
Here's the one for you. Here's one for you. Which is Mr. Bed Herdu.
Ah, yes, I see it.
He sent us quite a big... He's going to get featured twice as well, because he did a huge review for us at iTunes, which is a bit of an essay. So
this email isn't very long, though. So
No.
This is from Mr. Bedhairdo. All right, guys, hope you're all good. I was wondering if you could help me find an episode of your podcast where you talk about Halo Reach. It would be good to hear what you guys have thought of it. I'm still addicted to the multiplayer. Have you heard of the game Bulletstorm due for release next February? What are your first thoughts? I think it looks fun. I can say it's going to be a bit silly, though. And I'll be the only gaming veteran playing it. Andy, sent from my iPhone.
Now, interestingly, I sent him an email by saying, you obviously didn't listen to Two Blokes in a Room. Because we talked extensively about Bulletstorm, didn't we, after playing it at Eurogamer?
Yes. And my first concern with Bulletstorm is that it would look silly and be dumb. But when after playing it, I realised that it's going to be awesome because it looks silly and it's going to be dumb.
Absolutely.
Sweet.
There you go. So we actually love that game.
Yes,
yeah,
we
did.
So no, you won't be the only one playing it, mate. We'll all be playing it.
And I did send him the episodes where we did talk about Halo Reach, including our midweek one where we hadn't really played it, but I'll send him a link to that anyway, so he can have a listen to that. But yeah, Bulletstorm I thought was great, and I think it's going to be one of the best fun games next year. You know, just silly throwaway fun. So I mean, have you seen any video stuff on Bulletstorm?
Yeah, I've seen some videos of it. It looks good.
It is going to be good. It's going to be good. It's fun and silly. I'm not sure about multiplayer in it and how that'll work, but I'm sure we'll find out. Not that I'll be playing multiplayer on it, but you never know. Somebody will. So that's that one out of the way. But we have got rather a large one. So
she said.
She said. No. Okay. So are you ready? Here we go. A large one. And I am going to play along with his email, so I'll play along. Are you ready for this?
I love the start of this email.
Can I just say, before I read it, I'd just like to announce that this past week I've discovered the pleasure of wearing women's underwear. You know, all the listeners should give it a try. That's what I'll say. Yeah. Anyway, right, onto the email.
Still, you done goofed. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, onto the email. Dear veteran gamers, I'd like to give you a very big thank you for shouting out Theme Xbox and our fundraiser on last week's show.
We managed
to raise about £90 towards a new HD PVR, which is fantastic.
Great. So, he needs more.
Yeah, thank you for your support, especially to Duke, who actually donated to the cause, because Chinny and I obviously didn't, because we're meat. Anyway. Anyway, the main reason that I'm writing to you guys is because I've had a few questions build up.
Uh-oh.
So I thought we'd bundle them all into one email in an unorganized and unrelated fashion.
I like it.
Yeah, we like that. Firstly, Castlevania.
That's just like us, unorganized and unrelated.
Firstly, Castlevania. I played through this game a few weeks ago, and wow, it was bloody fantastic.
Yeah, he played through Castlevania and WoW?
Yeah, all in the same week.
Wow, that's a busy week.
It was. Yeah, I haven't heard any of you guys talking about it at all. For me, it seemed very polished, was certainly lengthy, and the story wasn't particularly well told. But the storyline, all of the art and the combat had me hooked. The story wasn't particularly well told, but the storyline... Anyway, that doesn't make a lot of sense, because he's saying the story wasn't particularly well told, but the storyline, all of the art and the combat had him hooked. I don't know. My life pretty much came to a standstill until it was complete. So my question is, I've heard Stu and Chinny... he's put Ginny, so I'm assuming that's a take on the other.
that's what we're going to call him now.
Yeah, Stu and Ginny talking about God of War in a positive light. So why have neither of you tried this?
Because we can't stop time, Pete. We can't stop time.
There's so much stuff to play.
There's too many. I said this to you, right? Interestingly, I was on Skype and he was chatting to me while I was editing the interview that I did this week. I was editing that and he was just, chatting.
Does Stu ever talk to you when he's editing the show? He never talks to me when he's editing the show.
Yeah. Anyway, shut up. And he said he was sending this email and why haven't we played Castlevania? And at that point, I said, well, there's just been too many other games to play. And he said that wasn't a good enough excuse. So there you go.
Whatever!
He said it wasn't good enough. It's not good enough. I have got it on my Love Film rental list, so if it comes, I will play it.
It's on my Love Film rental list.
Yeah, it's on there.
So actually, I'm at the will, like I have been for the last 2 years. I'm at the will of Love Film. I play what they send.
Same here, and that's
all
like
a communist command economy game system.
That's what we do. We just play whatever.
You play this now.
Hey, sometimes communism can work.
Sometimes send it back. So, Duke, are you going to play this, by the way, Castlevania? You're not going to give it a whirl?
Maybe at some point. I've never been a huge Castlevania fan.
Yeah, but this is not really a game.
It's not Castlevania. Have you played the demo?
I know it's not really Castlevania.
Did you play the demo?
I didn't play the demo.
Play the demo and tell us what you think.
I'm trying to play my games with no demo.
Hey, Duke, none of that Chad Warden stuff with the hype.
I know, there's not been any Chad Warden. It's been weird having none at all.
We're not going to play it. We're not going to play it.
Yeah, we're being good. Come on.
No. Here we go. Secondly, with the release of Bad Company Vietnam around the corner, will any of you guys be getting it? I know Duke is lost in blops. Insert booing sound effect here. But it would be fantastic to see you guys in Bad Company again. The new recently released maps are great, so I have high expectations for Vietnam. In fact, I think Bad Company 2 is my game of the year. It really does seem head and shoulders above Blops and Reach still.
It is very good, I will admit.
So?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you didn't mention this. I played some 1943 with him recently, so I do think the Battlefield games have a lot of staying power. I wish they'd go back to Modern Combat. That was their best game ever. But,
Battlefield 3 is coming out soon.
Is it really?
Well, they teased it, you know, whatever.
Are they going to give up stupid squads?
Yeah, no,
There's no trailers or anything, but it's been announced.
Yeah, but you can guarantee they will have the stupid squads. That'll definitely be in there.
It will probably have stupid squads.
It will do, especially for you, Duke.
Oh, man.
Stupid squads.
Yeah, so, you know, it's all good.
especially for you. So there you go. And finally, I just
want to... No, I won't be getting the Vietnam map.
No, and I haven't even got the game.
Too much to play. You're giving us a bollocking about playing Castlevania, then you say, do you want to play an expansion of a game that you've already played?
Does he even know how many games I've finished this year on three consoles?
Come on!
Jesus.
Come on.
And finally, I just wanted to quickly ask which themes you are using on your dashboards. Have you ever paid 240 Microsoft points for a theme?
Nope.
I haven't, and I'll tell you why. Like the idea of like a dynamic theme.
Yeah.
I use the backdrop that I made for Veteran Gamers because we're awesome. But, you know, the idea of a dynamic theme, it's just that it seems like so most of them, unless I miss my guess, unless I haven't really looked very closely at them, I suppose, but they're all based on specific games, and I'm not going to stay interested in one game for that long. Now, if they had like a Simpsons one, I might be on that piece.
But there you go. Got one. Well, on the 360, I have Red Dead Redemption in the background, which was the one that you got, I think, from play. Did you get it from playing it? I can't remember now. But I definitely didn't pay for it anyway. So I've got Red Dead Redemption. And on PS3, I have Heavy Rain on the background on that one. Which, whatever. It's the interactive raining drain pipe and stuff. So it's sort of a dynamic one. It's quite cool, actually. It's quite cool. There you go, that's what I have on mine. What do you have on yours, Chinny?
Standard, whatever the normal one is.
Yellow green thing.
Is that what you have, so you don't have any sort of theme or anything?
I have changed it a couple of times, but I went back to the normal one because I got sick of looking. I used to have the Moor one because that was a dynamic theme.
Oh, yeah.
And Splosion Man, I used to have that one.
I had the winter one on. I had that last year, you know, when it was Christmas time.
So, yeah, Splosion Man, Moor, and then I went back to normal because I got sick of looking at all the Moor pictures. So when Miss Splosion Man comes out, booyah! I'll probably download that theme and watch that one for a while. But yeah, look, Duke, I can't stay on one for very long because I get bored of looking at it. And then I'll just go back to default. But if IP wants to send me a free CSI Deadly Intent theme, that can come my way. Don't really do that. I'm just
yeah. So anyway, he said he'd like to finish by saying Chad Warden is an idiot. And in no way is worthy the amount of airtime he gets on your amazing show. Listen. Get rid of him before I come round and burn down Chinny and Duke's houses.
Oh, snap.
Well, not Duke's, as he donated to me and is immune. Is it worth it, Chinny? Is it worth it? Is it?
Whatever. You try that, IP. And I'll tell you right now, man. You do that, the consequences will never be the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Keep up the good work, I, Pete. So there you go.
Yeah.
How about that? You like that?
Yes. Yeah. Good. Thank you for good the learning. Email.
Yeah, I like that.
There's no question that Chad Warden's an idiot. That's why he's funny to laugh at.
Yes, we laugh at him.
That's right.
So there you go. Okay. Okay, so we have...
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Pete.
Yes, thank you. Good luck with raising more money.
Please stop burning down my house, Pete.
These skin flints.
Yeah. I like my house, Pete. Don't burn it down.
It's coming round to your house.
I hope you don't.
I hope you don't mind, but I did pass on your address to him. So that...
I don't mind him coming round. It's all right to come round. Just don't burn it down on the way out.
If you want to burn his house down, so off you go.
1, 2, 3,
yeah.
Fake.
Yeah. I even gave him money for petrol and everything. So,
damn.
So there you go. There you go.
Provide him the Glock to pop in his mouth.
Yep. So we did call for some more iTunes reviews last week, didn't we?
We did get an iTunes review in the US.
Excellent, we like that. But we have got a couple in the UK. So I'll read out the first one we got, which is just entitled Chad Warden. I can't get away from him now. Oh my god! And it's by a guy called Don Hume, and he says. These guys actually know what they're talking about. And they got many games most of us will never even think about playing. Well, that's only if you do just COD and FIFA, to be fair.
Assassin's Creed Brotherhood? What the hell is that?
Yeah, no one's played that.
All these people playing Bizarre. Yeah, I guess Deadly Premonition, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But when you hear their take on it, it makes you think that maybe you'll give this game a try. So props to the guys. Keep going.
Unfortunately, that game will be Bloodstone, and then the next week they'll tell you, don't play it, it's not that good.
Should have kept it being like, you know, not playing that game. Anyway, and then we've got another one off Andrew Gould. Gould. Best gaming podcast, 5 stars, he says. I have been searching for an interesting gaming podcast for a long time, and at last I have found it.
Well, has he been on a journey?
He has been on a journey. The show benefits from being independent, and the three personalities, Duke, Stu, and Chinny, all have their own opinions and favourite style of gaming genre.
That would make the game and journey if at the end of the game you just get to listen to one of our podcasts.
Oh, that would just be worth it. They really get across their enthusiasm for all things gaming related and are happy to explore how games made them feel whilst playing. Yes. Most important from a gaming podcast.
We're enthusiastic.
I have tried listening to other gaming podcasts such as MSN Gamecast, the IGN one with the hot chick, Jessica Chalbot.
Jessica Chalbot.
Major Nelson, but they do not compare to this podcast.
Whatever, they're great. All of those are great.
You know, we're only some independent podcasts.
I love all those, but except for that MSN one he told me. Yeah, I don't know that one, but the other two, brilliant.
Yeah. This podcast helps me think about other games I might want to pick up and play and think about the games I've already played to relive those special moments I enjoyed about them. They talk about everything game related, from the future of gaming and how it might take shape to the news stories such as the Panorama investigation into gaming addiction. It's amazing to think how these guys dedicate their own time.
That damn person wrote like a book up here.
I know. Their own time to produce this in-depth gaming podcast. Thanks for all your efforts. It's appreciated. Bed Herdu, so it's the same person sent us an email. So that's very, very kind. And we love the reviews because they're always so positive and nice, aren't they? You know, everyone says nice things.
Yeah. I can't imagine somebody giving a negative review.
No, I can't.
There's one on the US iTunes?
Yeah, there's one on there. What does that one say?
Probably 5 stars as usual.
The title is Not Worth Listening To.
What?
1 star.
Oh.
A bunch of guys, it's probably one of those FIFA guys, so I'll read it like that. A bunch of guys sitting around talking about what games they played since the last podcast. Boring! Yeah. That's it. That's the whole review. First of all, first of all, I'm standing right now, okay? So wrong there, okay? Wrong. Surf Penguin. What name is Surf Penguin anyway? What's your podcast about? Let me do a review of your review. A guy posting about a podcast he listened to. Boring.
I downloaded this gaming podcast, and all they do is talk about games in audio form. What kind of douchebag are they?
Hey, don't get me wrong. I think, in a way, it's good to have that review up there because, you know, if people aren't looking for a bunch of guys sitting around talking about what games they played, then they'll be warned off. But...
That's right.
I don't know what he was expecting.
You don't have that on gaming podcasts at all because people gaming podcasts don't talk about games they're playing, obviously.
Your descriptions always say, like, this week we talked about what Duke's been playing this and this is this. Yeah.
He obviously didn't need the description.
Show 48,
though.
This week Duke's been playing James Bond Bloodstone. What do you think I'm going to be talking about?
Boring. Play Call of Duty. All you do is shoot other people. Whatevs.
Now, there's a little Chad Warden overlap there. Boring.
I have a feeling this may be Chad Warden. That's what I'm thinking.
Like, I don't want to say that I'm Chad Warden. I'll try to get people to not listen some other way.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, just out of interest, you know, he's obviously going to be a balanced guy, isn't he? You know what I mean? He knows his stuff. You know, he's obviously given other positive reviews to other stuff he's listened to, hasn't he?
Oh, have you done research on this?
I have. Okay, here we go.
You know, Stu Duke, he doesn't let things lie.
Shit, Surf Penguin, you done goofed.
Gaming Uncensored, 1 star. Absolutely unlistenable. Not cast, 1 star. Could you possibly be any more cliched? Brilliant Gameologist, 2 stars. Oh, we gave that one 2. Consistently inconsistent. So there you go, that was his review for that one. Let's make a game. Nice idea, but 1 star for that one. What else is he giving? Oh, here we go. Dice Like Thunder. If I could rate this show any less than 1 star, I would.
Jesus.
Poly Sci-Fi Radio, 2 stars. Thank you for stopping at McLiberal's Please Drive Through. What else has he got?
Has anybody saw the film Ratatouille?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
You know the food critic in that, and he always gives bad reviews. Yeah, maybe he's that guy.
This is that guy.
And now he's also given some good reviews along the way.
He has, but when you look at his good reviews, they're all for Warhammer podcast.
At last, a Warhammer show for the rest of us. Look, yeah, I feel so alienated from your standard Warhammer podcast. This is another one of those mainstream Warhammer podcasts trying to catch the elite audience. What about us working people who play Warhammer? Where's our podcast? And what the hell? What are they going to be talking about? A bunch of people sitting around talking about the Warhammer game they played last time. Boring.
You know, but what's FBA? Do you know what that is? Is that basketball league or something?
And what is this?
FBA?
It's like, listen, right?
Wait, listen. No, hang on. I got one more thing about the Warhammer thing. Way too many hammer casts revolve around the tedious tournament scene. And here's what he wrote. So it's refreshing to see one featuring two guys who play the rest of us do. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
He obviously knew. And the other one, 40K war casting was the other one he liked. So it was another... A Warhammer 40,000. So why is he listening, right?
Who like Warhammer, so he can't make too much fun, but
he had another one. This Week in War Gaming, which is another, which he gave 5 stars to. So this guy only likes Warhammer and then criticizes.
Yeah, we don't bench the criticism. Join us next week when we'll be talking about Warhammer.
Oh, dude. Podcast. But we're not going to be talking about how we played it. I don't know how we're
going to finally, right,
that.
For someone
to do it in dance.
Listen. Now, I can't think of anything more boring than another one that he gave 5 stars in, which was he listens to a sort of podcast that talks about basketball games by blow-by-blow descriptions of the game. Hey, how could that even be remotely? Hey, and he's bouncing the ball.
You know what? The Cakes Mercenaries doesn't exist because Big Spoon's making his own basketball podcast. That's why. That's not true, by the way, but...
No, but the best one he reviewed is the Meeples and Miniatures podcast, which apparently, in his words, is a good overview of the UK gaming scene in general, hosted by a friendly presenter who's not afraid to experiment to make his show better. Keep it up. 5 stars. So I think we need to listen to the Meeples and Miniatures.
I've never even heard of that. I'm going to have a listen to that just to see what we're not doing right. You know, Let's find out. Yeah. So anyway, but thank you for that. We don't care. We're not bothered, you know. Although
clearly we don't care. We're not bitter. Talking about this.
If nothing else, it'll give us 10 minutes of material.
There you go. But it was interesting when I read it, you know. Yes. And you know, we're boring. There you go.
Can't even spell.
He's missed a letter out as well. You know.
Yes.
He's like put a little dash where there should be a letter or something. Anyway, so there you go. We're boring apparently, but there you go. Yeah. Horses for courses, as they say. Right.
We are pretty boring, though.
and on that, we need to do some shout-outs and get the hell out of here. Chinny,
shout-out to me main man, Jazzy B.
Is that you, Doug?
No. Shout-out to Big Bad Daddy, who sent me an Xbox, a very informative message of our Xbox Live.
Really?
Saying,
okay then.
That's what he sent there.
So he wasn't just preparing to say something. Oh no, wait, that's Parson or the other one, the other Rich. Sorry, never mind. Just edit that out, Stu.
Yeah, that's definitely staying in.
Damn it, staying in. You done goofed, boy. I'll shed it to Bungle77. I think I got that right. Yeah, I'll keep telling myself that. Bungle77, he sent me a couple of messages over Xbox Live saying, hey, I listen to your show. He says, ain't you the guy from the podcast? I don't know why he's from Texas, but he is.
I know, yeah.
Hey, you guy.
Is he American?
Veteran podcast. And yeah, he said he always listens to our podcast. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to find out where he's from. He's from Earth. There you go.
Earth, excellent.
Earth, we like Earth. I've been there before. Yeah, apparently, Shepard is going to Earth. So thanks to that guy, and also thanks to iPete. I forgot why I was going to shout him out, but I remembered that I have to shout him out. So there you go.
yeah, that's me done.
Ah, sounds cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
Oh, shout out to Simon Bird. I was at an award ceremony, and he was the host. And he was pretty funny. So Simon Bird is Will from The Inbetweeners.
Ah, there you go. You love them people, though. You love The Inbetweeners.
I do.
Yeah, you love them. Duke, shout-outs.
I want to shout out everybody who showed up for the Black Ops Veteran Games Playdate. It started with me and Hell Patrol. We were hanging out playing some games, and then Phil Thee showed up and said, "What's up?" And then Mark Harris came along and was like, "You got any room?" We're like, "Oh, yeah, come on in, baby." And then Bongo the Saint showed up, and he was all like, and we're like, "What the hell is that?" And someone said, "I think he's using his Kinect mic for fucking chat." We're like, "Oh, God, that's turn awful. It off."
Hey,
and I was like, and we're like, and then he finally switched over to the real mics. That was cool. And then G.H. Rocker showed up, and he was like, "What's up, guys? How's it going? Oh, I got killed." And he was talking a lot, but that's all right. And then somebody showed up who didn't say anything. He didn't say a single word the whole time he was playing with us.
Well, I wonder who.
But he sent me a message, and the message was, "Duke."
Who was it?
Yeah, who was it?
Gavlar. Was it? And I have no idea what he sounds like, because he even joined the party. That was the weird thing. He joined the game, and then he joined the party we were in, too, because the sound quality is better if you have a party going on. So he joined the party, and I was like, finally, Gavlar!
I thought he was going to say it was Raw Messiah, because obviously he never talks. You know, obviously.
I finally get to hear him, and then I was like, Gavlar! And there was absolutely nothing.
Maybe he's got that mouth.
Yeah, maybe
it's
he hasn't.
Possible. I don't know. Anyway, John Mouse showed up. John Mouse
Duke. Is it possible that he has no mouth?
Yes, it's possible.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible. Mouth.
That is possible.
Yeah, I don't.
Like Mitch Hedberg says, don't wave at a guy in the street because he might not have a hand. He might think you're bragging. Hey, look what I got. And then we had a new person come by. Peeping Dom sent me a new friend request.
Oh yeah, we've got him, and he's on the Veteran Gamers UK.
So cheers to him, and we played some other games with him after the play day. He's a cool guy. I was like, "What's up?" And he couldn't sleep, so I was always like, "I might as well get up and play." And then Link Stu's playing, and I'm like, "Well, Link Stu, what's your excuse?" And Ender 837 showed up. I was like, "What's up?" And Quanrian showed up to just chat, and
he's good at that.
Nice chatting.
I was like, "Why would you want to listen to us playing this game if you're not also playing it? That must be really annoying." Shut that guy! Come on. so it was a really cool event, and thanks to everybody who showed up. And the next one's got to be on the PS Triple, because we've had a lot on the Xbox, so we need to just have a home play date. Let's hang out at home.
Yeah, we could do that if you like.
I've actually still
got the clubhouse that I set up years ago.
Dude, there you go. You just gotta put up a Veteran Gamers poster. Like
clubhouse.
That'd be cool.
I don't know, but it's funny.
I don't know. We can invite the TQ cast people. They hang out at home all the time.
There you go. We can do that. Well, my shout-outs is, first of all, to Matthew Doucette from Zona Games, who joined me for an interview, which you should have heard by now, which was out on Wednesday, which is like in 2 days' time in our time, but it was 2 days ago in your time.
Yes.
Doing that weird time thing again. And he was excellent. He was a really cool guy, and he was very chatty, and he told us all about games and stuff. He was good.
Yeah.
He was really cool. And I'd also like to shout out G.H. Rocker, just for being a masochist. So there you go. And
why do you say he's a masochist?
Well, the reason he's a masochist is because he picked up Deadly Premonition, right?
Yeah.
So I sort of emailed him and said, messaged him and said, "How are you finding it?" He's like, "Oh, it's all right so far, it's all right." And then a few days later, I spoke to him and I said, "Oh, how are you doing?" And he's like, "Oh, I've played 25 hours already." So I said, "Oh, God."
Sorry, that's the song Masochist by Ultraviolence.
What
go ahead.
On earth is that? Anyway, right. So I said, 25 hours? Oh, you must be nearly at the end. And he went, "No, I've only just got to the bit where you meet all the residents of the town at the town hall," right? And that's right near
the
beginning.
What game's this?
Deadly Premonition.
Oh, okay.
And that's really near the beginning of the game. So I'm like, what? How can... Oh, I haven't slept yet. I've just been drinking loads of coffee in the game and fishing and stuff. And I was like... You spend 25 hours and you've only just got to the first major story point of the game. It's like, yeah, I've been collecting all the cards and everything. So it's like, whatever. So there you go. So we played 25 hours without sleeping in the game.
Masochist. Masochist. Why are you alone? Masochist.
Hurt me, baby! All right, I'm done.
Was that Anne Robinson?
I don't know who it is.
You are the weakest link. Masochist.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Oh, God. So, yeah, so there you go. So he's enjoying just sort of wandering around the neighborhood. And he ran out of petrol twice, right? And it took him 20 minutes to walk back into the town in the game.
Jesus
Christ. And I said, listen, did you not use a flare, you know, to summon the squad? Well, you can use a flare to do that. I'm like, yeah, oh, damn, I wish I'd have known that.
So he's not a masochist. You're a sadist because you didn't tell him that information.
I did. I'm sure I mentioned it at some point.
You talked about it for 20 hours.
Exactly. I've definitely mentioned it. So there you go. But he's enjoying it. So there you go.
Well, that's
he may get to the end of the story in about 200 hours. So who knows?
I'm definitely going to be playing that in my dry period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is in 2012.
Yeah. So there you go. And on that note, we do need to get the hell out of here. So yeah, see ya.
Oh, man. Thanks for listening, everybody.
You don't goofed?
Consequences will never be the same.